I've asked before what future generations of consoles are going to bring. 3D? Dead. Motion controls? Stable, but dwindling. 8K? Inevitably expected. So, what's left? A game preview has purportedly leaked a deeper game integration via the console dashboard, like jumping straight into time trials on a racing game, online battle or story mode for shooters, and so on, all happening at the console menu, which should save time for everyone. This is just my opinion. Plenty more is still to come from your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, on this and all the news of the week, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. Back live again tonight with episode number 830 for this August the 2nd of 2020. I can't believe it's August already. At the same time, this year has been quite a wash, hasn't it? My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joining you with my friends that I met playing Dance Dance Revolution about 20 years ago at the local arcade. And at some point we decided, hey, you know, we should start a podcast, or that time podcasting didn't quite start yet. So it was, we should do a live internet show about DDR and music games because we love them so much. And then after a couple of years, it was like, why are we limiting ourselves to music games? Let's talk about all video games, classics, new stuff, just celebrating gaming and gaming culture. One of my co-hosts is Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers. Hello.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. You're looking
all things considered.
Looking fabulous, as always.
Thanks. I just pulled this one out for today. I'm pleased with it.
That got an immediate yes, new wig in our chat from VG Realness.
I may be digging out some others. Like, at this point, I'm actually thinking about investing in more mannequins, you know, the wig mannequins. Right now, though, I have that black one I wore last week because right now it's probably my favorite, like, as a daily wear. And I thought it looked really good. I showed it to my physical therapist, and she's like, that's not you, that's you. So, and everyone's like, you should dye your hair black, you should do black. So what I'm going to do is next dye I do, it's going to go black. But I'm going to have one that's black with red tips, just a streak.
Okay.
A little peak of red.
Little streak of fire going there. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
But, I mean, I haven't had my hair black since the 90s.
Well,
the 90s.
Whether you come here for the video game discussion or you come here for the wigs, you can join us live at Twitch. twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, the Voice Geeks Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Please say hello to our other friend that we met playing Dance Dance Revolution. It's Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Now, our chatters are taunting you tonight about this game that you're running in the background. And again, I apologize because I know it's a podcast, too, and you guys can't see the visuals. But I will explain. It looks like Loki is playing footage of his game he never finished behind him tonight. Is this your game
exactly.
You never finished?
It is exactly that. Yeah, it was footage of the last level that I'd made in It's Time the Car, which unfortunately I lost that build of the game. And it's very disappointing because I wanted to go back and at some point and finish it, but I don't have any recent builds of it. I don't know what happened to it because I used to back that up every few days. And for some reason, I only have up to a certain point. I know I was having corruption issues with that. That was back in Unity 4. I mean, that's really old.
I'm sorry, so. But is that a cat cannon that's firing cats?
It is a cannon that does fire cats. They're not real cats. They're robotic cats. As you can see, they're flying off in the space.
Yes, we would never want to hurt a real cat.
No cats are harmed, but no, it's just a weird... Like, that was the thing. Is like the game had like a lot of weird levels. And whereas I thought this would be funny, just shooting cats to deliver them to these houses, either hitting the window or the door, it ended up not being as fun. I have better ways to implement that now, but at the time, it was like it sounded like it'd be a cool idea, and it took forever to get the little movement for the cat because it kind of hops around the ground, and it can actually hop up walls as well. I spent days trying to get that to work. But yeah, unfortunately... Unfortunately, it's lost to time.
Your game is in such early stages, you know, obviously if this had been a finished product, you would have probably worked on a lot of the textures and stuff, but in the current state that we see in the video, it's serving some like early or late 90s virtual reality simulator realness. Yeah. I love it.
No, it was supposed to be like that. It was very like low poly.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was supposed to be that way because that was just, I couldn't draw at all. So
that, hey.
Like I even like the cat model, like everything is supposed to like fit together with that. But yeah, if I was to do it again, I'd do it differently. But like I was just nostalgic on it because I had planned on partaking in a game jam this weekend and just didn't work out. Circumstances. Had my son's 10th birthday party yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Wow, 10. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I've just had like a terrible headache for like the last, you know, 36 hours. So just that. And then, of course, the theme, I just can't think of anything that I'd want to do with the theme that sounds like fun. So I'm just going to, I'm taking the next 3 days off anyways. So I may either go back to working on my game, which is probably what I'm going to end up doing, or kind of want to go back to work on this game.
Right.
It would be cool, but
well, whatever you decide to do, good luck.
Maybe play around at least.
Yeah. Looking in our chat room, Dark Tetsuya in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, yeah, I think that's my main hurdle in game design is doing like sprite art. Well, you know, and I imagine that's why there's a lot of games that decide to do a retro look and feel is because, well, I don't want to say retro graphics is easier. That would be very insulting to people that have worked very hard on sprites, and it can be very difficult in a limited space to design certain looks and certain feels. So, but certainly people might have a preference for one type of art design versus another. But at the same time, you know, and Bobby kind of jumps in there saying, crazy idea, join a team with other people and help them on their game.
And I would if I knew I could dedicate a certain amount of time to it, but I don't know with just family and everything.
Loki doesn't want other people to have to rely on him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. But I was going to say, you know, also there's, and you know, and Bobby's talking a little bit about this in chat, but I was going to say, you know, sometimes there's art packages and art assets and art things out there, you know, and this is more in response to what Dark Tetsuya is saying, doing sprite art. Well, a game that Loki and I haven't shut up about on this show for like 4 months is Orna. And that game, it uses a very kind of common sprite pack asset thing because we've seen the characters in other games, which is kind of funny. But it doesn't matter because a good game is a good game. And so, you know, and Orna's a lot of fun. That's why we keep playing it. And plus, it's more impressive when you consider one guy did it and he's creating a type of Pokemon Go-esque meets Dragon Warrior type of game. And I hate calling it Pokemon Go because really the only thing they have in common is that they both use your GPS. But it's just impressive that it's done by one dude.
Yeah, and I just need to do more. It's more practice. Like, even when I was working on this stuff, like, I was really rough around. I'm still rough on everything, you know. So, but I know a lot more now than I did back then when I was doing it. And a lot of it was, like, I was focused on the artwork and everything first. And I really needed to nail down the gameplay. And even, like, you know, playing this, you know, I now have, like, better ideas of how I'd implement things differently that would make it look more fun. Mm-hmm. But like even small things, as you know, like getting the cat thing to work or the confetti cannons, that was fun. Just like lots of like silly things. And then the problem was those, like, I kind of lost sight of what the game was because it's like I don't know.
Yeah, like, I get it.
I don't know. It was neat for what it is. I'll have to play some of the other levels later. I'll switch up the video, but it was fun. Like, okay. It was a fun learning experience. I need to finish something though.
Let me read a few more comments from chat, and then we'll get into our kickoff topic tonight, which, Loki, I'll have you cover here at the top for us. But some of the things in chat, Phoenix7726 talking about the retro and so forth, saying, retro graphics do tend to have a lower ceiling for designs which look good enough, though. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out that recent Black Lives Matter bundle that was on itch.io that I know a ton of you picked up because that bundle made a lot of money for a great cause. There's several asset bundles in it. And that's, you know, there's all types of not just art, but I think there was some music in there too. So some of you guys may have some of that content and not even realize it. So definitely leverage that from your donation to that.
Yeah,
let's see.
And there's like some jams actually coming up that I know Kenny, he does a lot of these. He's known as Asset Jesus out there. He does a lot of the CC0 art assets. I actually contribute to his Patreon and stuff. And so he's doing a jam with his art assets because he releases like thousands and thousands of thousands of assets for free. They're almost kind of similar style as this. This was a different artist that did these, though. And so his stuff, though, he's got a jam that's based around art. And I've seen other like kind of fun YouTube videos where they take an art asset pack and they're like, okay, what can you come up with using this art asset pack? I like that kind of a concept a little bit better than like the one I was going to do this weekend was the theme was rewind. It's like anything I could think of was just with time rewinding, and that sounded kind of boring. So that's why I couldn't think of anything. So I'm probably not going to do that one, but I like a lot of those jams, especially based around art assets.
All right. Well, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which is not about an indie game. This is the furthest thing from an indie game. This is the mother of all AAA titles. But yes, Let's talk a little bit about Halo and some of the things that have happened since the big reveal a couple weeks ago. Loki.
Yeah, so there was a rumor that Halo Infinite was going to be free to play as far as the multiplayer goes, and this was coming from it was published on a pre-order page, and it was for this website Smith's Toys, and they had this like kind of little blurb on it said, you know, the legendary Halo series returns with the most expansive Master Chief campaign yet and groundbreaking free-to-play multiplayer experience. And so it talked about, free to play. And everyone's like, well, wait, what's going on? You know, what's this? And so finally it was confirmed by Microsoft that, yes, it is going to be free to play, at least the multiplayer portion. There was some other websites that had listed the genre, I guess. I want to say it was like a Japanese website or something like that that was listing it like as almost like a battle royale. So maybe there's going to be some battle royale mode to it. I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of games are kind of putting that in there, but at the very least, it would be neat to see that, you know, multiplayer in Halo is definitely extremely popular, and to make that accessible to everybody at no cost is pretty great. That's I'd say another good selling point for that console.
Now, this has led to a lot of rampant speculation about Microsoft potentially walking away from Xbox Gold, basically, and making the multiplayer free, which, you know, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but obviously this is something I've talked about on the show plenty of times before, that I think this is a good direction for Microsoft. One, I'm kind of surprised they didn't make sooner, but, you know, in reflection, you know, hindsight's 2020, it does make a lot of sense to maneuver it with a new generation, that this is going to be like kind of like a new way of thinking, if you will, about approaching this next generation. Now, to kind of follow up on that, we have seen some articles and some tweets. And for example, over on our Discord for VOG Network, which you can join over at vognetwork.com, that's vognetwork.com/Discord. And people chat with us throughout the week and so forth. And we have like an Orange Lounge radio room, and people share their story ideas and some of their thoughts on the show. And Tiger Claw posted a story that has the headline, Microsoft will discontinue Xbox Live Gold and make multiplayer free. And that part is in quotes. And if you go into, and I, when I first saw that, I was like, what? Why haven't I seen this all over Twitter? Well, when you actually go into the story, it's a journalist from VentureBeat has arrived at the same conclusion that this must be the direction that they're going in, which, by the way, something I really hate about social media headline sharing. And this is no, I'm not faulting Tiger Claw, because it was an interesting, it's always nice to hear that somebody's thinking the same way you do. So I'm not faulting that. Please don't hear that. But sometimes these gotcha headlines really irritate me, and we're really bad about that in the games world, especially. But obviously, you know, we've seen it play out in all in political and all this other type of stuff, but I digress. Xbox going for free multiplayer would be quite the shift. With Halo making that maneuver, does it seem like this is the logical conclusion that we're going to get to, that Xbox Gold is going to go away? Actually, before I get your answer, one other thing to kind of file away, Game Pass changed their branding at some point in the past few days. So there's no longer Xbox Game Pass or Microsoft Game Pass. They're just calling themselves Game Pass with the Xbox logo. You can see this on their Twitter account, although the actual name of the Twitter account hasn't changed, and maybe that's because they have to sort something out. Somebody probably took the other name. But the logo and some of the identity and that stuff has changed. So it does feel like chess pieces are moving around. What's your thoughts? Do you think this is what Microsoft is positioning themselves to do?
I still don't know yet. It certainly seems like they're hinting that that's going to be the change. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe just Gold goes away and it's all just what Games Pass. I'd be interesting to see what goes on there. I don't know if necessarily with this Halo announcement that necessarily indicates that they're going to be going that route with all games. I just think at the very least we know now Halo's multiplayer is going to be for free, and that they may sell the campaign separately. I think Call of Duty did something similar. I know they did with like Warzone and stuff that's free to play. So it may be just staying competitive in the marketplace with what's out there right now. I think that they're going to make that announcement at some point soon, but right now they haven't confirmed it.
Very interesting comment from SSJ100 Matt. Everything's got a price. I'm waiting for the catch here. Could there be a catch? You know, I could definitely see where maybe while you're in matchmaking lobbies for certain games, they're going to be a little more. And again, I am completely fantasizing. I'm kind of reading into this comment and going, I could see this happening, that maybe you're going to see advertisements in matchmaking lobbies and stuff. I mean, heck, it's not like we haven't seen advertisements inserted into games before. We've seen like billboards that change and so forth. But maybe it would be a little more like less subtle. Like you're going to see ads while you're waiting to play games. And it'll be like, this match is brought to you in part by Colgate toothpaste. Maybe try brushing your teeth. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but that could be something I could see where Xbox might, you know, it's free, but there's a catch, and maybe make a little money there. Do you think that's a road they could go down?
I think that there are some companies that will go down the road, EA. But I don't know if necessarily that Microsoft's going to be doing that. I would see that they're probably going to be selling more cosmetic microtransactions and stuff like that. But I think really a lot of these companies could probably afford to have multiplayer for free, considering how much money they make off of microtransactions. I don't know that necessarily we're going to see ads, but I mean, even if they were charging for multiplayer, I could see them doing ads during like waiting and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, and who's to say though, with matchmaking being pretty quick, I don't know, like if you would, I don't know if they would do that though. Like, well, I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. A chat name I don't recognize. Somebody possibly knew or has changed their name, who said called No One Special 77. Hello, No One Special. Says possible catch 22. You know how with Gold you pay for multiplayer, but they give you games for free? Maybe the Game Pass, you pay for the subscription, but the multiplayer is free, but you need Game Pass to play. And you're not the first person. I wouldn't either, and you're not the first person in chat to suggest that maybe Halo will be a little taste of that, but ultimately, and I think we've heard the theory of the bundled package, that essentially Gold turns into Game Pass and it's everything. And, you know, we don't want to assume. We still have no confirmation from Microsoft on this. We know one game is doing it, and it's a big one, Halo. So that lends itself to the possibility, you know, y'all love the feasibility scale on this show, right? The plausibility scale, right? So is it plausible Microsoft's going to throw it out for all games? Well, with them doing it for Halo, it's certainly plausible. But is it going to be a bundled thing either, and Halo's just a taste? I don't know. I kind of think Microsoft's bread and butter now is Game Pass. They want to be Netflix for games before someone else beats them to it, because Microsoft so many times in the industry has had to be playing catch up a little bit by trying to catch up to what somebody else has done. Microsoft is like, dang it, we're going to be the Netflix of the games industry. This is what we're doing. So I think what's going to happen when Microsoft goes to sell Halo and the ads are on TV and all this stuff, they're not going to say, $60 in store now, or pre-order now, they're going to say, get Game Pass to experience Halo on day one. They're going to only push the game on Game Pass in their official advertising channels. And the $60 retail, that's a footnote now. That's where I think they go with it. But that's, again, just reading the tea leaves. Jamie, you think it's possible that they go this direction as well, still making you pay for multiplayer, but it's like a Game Pass combo pack?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. And on top of that, I mean, if they had like a completely free option, then yeah, I think there would be like some sponsorship in there. Like, you know, I don't know, like something's going to limit it. Like if you want the full package, you have to have the full deal, you know, like the pass. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does.
So they might give a promised free. Sorry, this wigs in my eyes. They might give you like that promised free. But free always costs something when the game, you know, when the game companies are involved.
As somebody in chat said earlier,
you'll pay for it one way or another.
Ain't nothing free in this world, baby.
You get Corona for free.
Okay. So let me ask one more question. So let's talk about what it might set the stage with competitively. I'm going to ask this question of chat. I'm going to ask this question of my host. So how competitive of a move does this end up being against Sony and Nintendo? Like, if Microsoft really does go this direction, do you think Sony and Nintendo, and especially it's very interesting in Nintendo's perspective because Nintendo was kind of late to the party in charging for online, and but I don't know. Like, my personal gut kind of says, but Nintendo kind of always gets away with doing whatever the hell they want because their games are so strong. Nintendo is the best developer in the business, and it's pretty convenient they build their own hardware. So, but do you think this move has a competitor, especially when it comes to Sony? Do you think it's going to put pressure on Sony to eliminate their online cost as well? Or is Sony going to say, well, we're giving you a better value because blah, 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 whatever excuse they come up with?
I have a thought about that, and yeah. It's typically that not everybody is a multi-system owner. You know, like maybe we can swing having multiple systems, even though I don't have, you know, the newer Xboxes. But, you know, when you come down to it, a lot of families are going to be a one console house, or if they have something, it's going to be a few generations old, or they've traded it in to buy whatever the new one. So going on that, I don't really think that Sony will have to do something like that. They'll still make their money. They may offer like more incentives for their paid services, but I don't really see that they would see a point in doing it. I don't think it would really frighten them.
Loki, any thoughts?
I mean, they're going to say whatever they want. Nintendo will probably be like, well, we offered a, you know, library of games, you know, first, or I don't know. I think Nintendo's not even going to care what they do. I can see Sony having to counteract this with some sort of offering of PlayStation Now for free, or at least including it with the price so that you play for PlayStation Plus. Obviously, if there's a big discrepancy between the number of consoles being sold by platform, if it's in Sony's favor, I doubt that they're going to, you know, counter with, you know, putting out, and they may even not in the beginning because they feel that they're, you know, they've got such a strong lead in the console space already. But if it becomes a point where they need to be competitive, then they would probably offer it up as well. I think it's a good move for Microsoft to be doing this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, if it gets us to, you know, at least give more value to what you get each month, because I know with Microsoft, even as it is already, you get 4 games a mm-hmm. month. You know, with Xbox Live Gold versus the 2, maybe 3 if they're feeling generous that month from Sony. So Sony's already kind of even backed down on what they used to give you. They used to get a ton of PSP and PlayStation 3 games and stuff like that. It would be nice if all that was compatible with like PlayStation Now and that was just a free service, but it's not. So I think the industry needs a kick in the pants, and this would definitely help with it.
DJ Rama S in chat says, I don't think Sony is going to care until they start losing sales to Microsoft. So maybe Sony is kind of, maybe, you know, these types of plans are years in development. So Sony might be marching forward because they didn't see this disruption in the industry potentially. And again, we don't know there's going to be disruption. It's one game that is reading into the tea leaves. But if there is disruption, Sony maybe didn't foresee it coming. And so maybe they don't have a response right away. And it's not until they potentially lose share to Microsoft that they're going to respond to it. But maybe Sony, in a very similar way to Nintendo, rests on the strength of their first-party games to carry them through. Sony does have some very strong first-party titles, obviously, between, you know, the God of Wars, the Horizons, and et cetera, et cetera. I can go on. Microsoft has always lagged behind in that department, right? But, and this is a big but, Microsoft is really trying to change that from all the studios they've acquired and from what they showed you in this last presentation. This whole presentation that Microsoft did this past month, I don't think was just about being a giant advertisement for Game Pass that was pretty good, but it's also definitely trying to say, hey, we have great first-party titles too. Like Fable coming back, like Forza, like, you know, these new IPs coming from Obsidian, and, you know, and then Psychonauts 2, and so on and so on. You guys get the picture. You know, Microsoft is really trying to compete on that level as well. So it's going to be very interesting, and I feel like a lot of gamers are at some point going to have to end up with three systems. Well, maybe not, because, again, Microsoft's games are all PC as well, so I think there's a lot of people that go, I'll just play those games on PC. I'll get Game Pass on PC and play my games there. Well, is that really a loss for Microsoft? No? Not if you end up with a Game Pass PC subscription.
So Bobby was saying in chat there that obviously with, you know, the lack of, you know, a subscription for these Xbox Live Gold and stuff, it's like, who's paying for these online services? I think, honestly, what they've done is they looked at the amount of money that they're, you know, charging each month for Xbox Live Gold. So, say, I think it ends up being, you know, like $60 a year or so. So, like, maybe almost like $5 a month, maybe even more than that now. And they look at offering this, you know, say, this library of games out there as is. And the amount of money that they might make off of these microtransactions through these games. So if it's not necessarily first party, it could be third party games that they're getting a cut, you know, from those purchases as well. And that may be enough to offset the cost of paying that $5 a month as it is. And they, in fact, may be making more money from that. So that's why I think they're allowing folks to have access to more games, because it gives them more opportunity to spend money. And that's kind of even what we see from like Activision stuff. They're saying they're making billions of dollars off of just microtransactions alone and not necessarily game sales. So obviously, if they open that market up to more people to have exposure to these games, there's a better opportunity to make more money than they would, say, just charging the subscription service. Plus, it looks better.
In my opinion, it's an investment type of thing. Microsoft does this now so that 2-3 years down the line, when everybody gets used to Game Pass, Game Pass is a standard. There's so many games now, all these first party developers have put their games out on Game Pass, that there's so much more strength to it, that then they jack up the price by another $4 a month, just like Netflix did. Because remember when Netflix did the whole Quickster thing, and then that was like, everybody screamed. They kind of ended up doing it anyway. They just called it different things, and they ended up being able to jack up the price of Netflix while they were at it, because everybody was just so used to it at that point. And then it was, oh, we're going to charge an extra dollar or two for HD. Oh, we're going to charge, or I'm sorry, not HD, but 4K, you know, and all this other stuff. I, you know, and again, I might be a little bit cynical in that line of thinking, but investment, I think, is a reasonable answer to that question on how do you pay for it, is that you hope long term you're going to come out ahead. So, all right. Interesting perspective on is what Microsoft's doing working. Pele Hanumea in chat says, it's working. My number one priority after getting a PlayStation 5 is getting a next-gen Xbox. It's very true. SSG100 Matt says, that's a good point, Rob is saying. For free now, but charge higher later. Ain't nothing in this world free, baby.
That's anything. I mean, moral that could be night. Any service.
Yeah. All right.
And it comes down to also, though, I don't think that they would do that right away if they did. it comes down to competition as well, what the competition is doing. So I don't know. I think that it's still too early to say that's what they're going to do. Have they really done that with, I mean, they did that with Xbox Live Gold, but I think that's once, if I remember correctly, that they raised the price on that. But there's still the free games that they added to that as well. So I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, again, a lot of this is speculative, so I'm going to move on, try to get some other less rumory topics discussed on the show. But I think it's very interesting. You know, again, this all plays into what is that, you know, kind of carrying over from last week's kickoff show. What does that next generation of gaming really look like? You know, and all this is going to really impact that. So on what we look back on, Jen, what are we going into now? Generation 8 of sorts, I think, with games, although Nintendo being the disruptor is kind of like, I don't know, where are they at? They're like 7.5. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about what generation of games are you playing this week in our gaming weeks and the types of video games that you have been spending your time playing this week. Dar Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was fairly productive. Hold on, because I took a picture of some of the other stuff that I took to remind myself. So not only, of course, have I been playing a crap load of Animal Crossing, which I will be getting at 7 o'clock so I can watch the fireworks. Just saying. 7 o'clock.
I should have had you try to set up your Discord so you could switch to your game image so we could see that. But I guess all the East Coasters are already enjoying the fireworks. I've seen it on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know how to – I'd have to take some time and switch that up anyway.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But we had some I've had, like, my second visitor ever during the quarantine of my own, and it was Becky, and she brought Julian over. He's gotten big. He's playing Sekiro. And Dark Souls, and he's really going for it. But he and Dan were playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe yesterday, and it was pretty amusing to listen to them banter. We also have the Capcom Beat 'Em Up bundle. Knights of the Round, King of Dragons, Captain Commando, a few other games on there. They're really fun. I mean, it's not like we don't have some of these on other collections, but it's nice to have access to them, especially the one that's semi-related to Cyberbots. But for the life of me, I can't remember his name. It's like Armored something? Armored Warrior? Not Armored Core. But at any rate, we had a lot of fun with that. And then we also got the Outrun Sega Ages collection. So, it has a bunch of music in it just all over and different kinds of trials in the game. It's pretty fun. I briefly mentioned it last week, but I also have the Sega Ages Sega Saturn Fantasy Zone. And now I'm looking for a copy of Black Matrix for the Sega Saturn. So if someone wants to eBay that for me, that would be great. I need to find a translation of it, though. But yeah, that's been a little pinball. We reorganized the front room. It's just been kind of up in the air. But now we have our vault kind of reset as a proper game room, but we're playing Lethal Enforcers on the Genesis with the Justifier.
I really want to come over and play pinball at some point, but pandemic. So.
If the both of us haven't been around people for, you know,
yeah, I got all that stuff. All that stuff with my dad's going on though. It's got to take priority. So
I get it. And I'm pissed off at Dan because he had people over in the garage and I had to go in there with Lysol spray and spray the air. I mean, that stuff is actually pretty effective. But thankfully, Dan stayed away for a little while and washed his hands and washed himself really well. I was already passed out, so I couldn't be mad last night. But yeah, we've got gamage going on and more than there was a week before, so nah.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
So I did play a few things. A lot of Minecraft this week, as usual. Both my kids wanted me to build them mansions, so I had to build two modern mansions for them. You know, just the small things. You know, we want a 4-story mansion, please. You know, can you give me one?
Dad, my requests are not unreasonable. All I want is a 4-story mansion, Dad. Make it happen.
Exactly. So I did that, and then I did play a little bit of Paper Mario in the Origami King, and I beat the first boss in that game. And then they have, I guess, the first like kind of mini boss, and then like the first boss in the game. And if for those who may not know, the game's bosses are it's stationary stuff. So the first boss is a pack of colored pencils, and it's fantastic. I really love that game, just in the art style and everything. So pretty cool. And then a little bit of Orna, just the bare minimum. I really haven't been playing too much of that, just doing, you know, my daily wars and whatnot.
Yeah, get on those wars, because you know your Kingdom Master's a dick when it comes to those wars. But we were losing too many by like a hair, and so we don't want to get matched against big guilds if we don't have active people. So
yeah, so doing that, and then yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just those few games.
Awesome. By the way, speaking of Orna, since that was a little bit of my game too, they did a big update today. And there's like it runs a lot smoother. Like I feel like I'm getting a better frame rate, and they put some new fonts in it, so it looks a little different. It doesn't look completely retro now. It's kind of, the sprites haven't changed though, so it's still got a retro feel, but you have to check it out. Anyway, other stuff in my gaming week. I've also been playing Animal Crossing. I've had a lot of turnaround in my village in the last 2 weeks. I've lost 3 villagers and gained 3 new ones. So I let Gigi go. She has to go. Well, I lost Nana like about 3 weeks ago, and I got Klaus, who has a hilarious house because he lives in what looks like a bathhouse, because it's supposed to be like a throw to like ancient Greece, and that's kind of like his aesthetic. So and he's great. I like him for a smug type. Him and I get along. And then I lost Gigi. She asked to leave. And I was like, all right, you're a duplicate typing. So she left, and I got a normal type to replace Nana, who I didn't care for. And I got Norma the normal. I love how some
Norma
of the names are completely
I have Marshall.
Yeah. I went Islander hunting yesterday, and I found a villager named Snooty. And I was like, yeah. I wonder what type of villager this one is.
So, well, I let Julian creative. Go so I could bring Marshall in.
Oh, wow.
I have a card for Julian. I can get him back anytime.
Oh, smart.
I need to visit somebody's or anybody's island, because we haven't been to anyone. We need more fruit, because my wife wants to build out her orchard. Yes, my wife has basically taken over the entire island and completely decorated everything, because I don't play that game very much. She's redesigned everything. But yeah, she needs to visit some more islands too. Yeah. Or I should say, I need to visit the islands, because I have the Xbox or the Nintendo Pass.
Jamie and I both have all the fruits, so visit one of us and you'll be set.
All right, cool.
The hardest change I made into my villager lineup was I got Judy as a camper this week, and I really wanted her because I'm like, she's kind of like different, right? She's newer for this one, and she's got a really cute look. She's like a starry-eyed bear, and I know she's really popular. So I was like, all right, Judy. And I had to talk to her a bunch of times. And the first villager Judy wanted to boot was Ketchup. And I was like, uh-uh. And I instantly turned off the game and restarted it. If Rossetti was here, he would have screamed at me, but you can get away with it. So finally I settled on, she asked to kick Rocket, and I let her do it. And that was hard because
I don't like Rocket that much.
Rocket was one of my first two villagers though, so I was really attached to her, and so that was really hard.
Kind of like my Agnes and Dom.
Yeah. But
although Apple was my third, and I booted her the fuck out.
Here's the thing, part of the game is turnaround. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I was like, you know what? I can't hang on to the same 10 villagers forever, or the game is not going to be interesting. So I had to let Rocket go. And Rocket had an OG house for that reason, too, because, you know, they don't really get their personalized furniture if they're one of your first two villagers. So I let Judy replace Rocket. That was hard. And then the same day Judy moves in, I have another villager, Joey, who asked to leave. And he was a duplicate typing, lazy type. So I just picked up Boots, another jock, who's a really cute alligator, and I was like, okay, I'll take that. So yeah, that's as the Animal Crossing island turns. But I'm also excited to check out the fireworks show. But yeah, I've had a lot of turnover on my island this week. Other games I've been playing besides just that, continued GPS stuff, still doing, you know, Ingress, Pokemon Go. That stuff keeps me moving. Thanks, ActDeft, if you're out there listening tonight, because he invited me to a remote raid and I caught a Rayquaza yesterday. That was kind of random. Some people just, if they see me on, they send me a remote raid, and I try to do them if I see them. But there is sometimes a lag, and I get sent invites where it's like I'd already closed the game. Niantic must not have shown that I went offline, so I'd already closed it. So, yeah, but I'm loving the remote raiding, that's for sure. And then a new game that I checked out this week was, thanks to Xbox Game Pass, they just added a game called The Tourist, but it's spelled, it's like T-O-U-R-Y-S-T or something. It's spelled differently. It's interesting because it's kind of like a little bit of a puzzler. And what made me want to play this game is that somebody tweeted that basically there's like a game inside the game that's basically a Minecrafty version of Fast Racing Neo Remix on Nintendo Switch. Is like kind of inside that game, and I thought that was really cool. So I was like, okay, I'm going to check this game out on Game Pass. And the aesthetic is very 3D Dot Game Heroes. Do you remember that game for the PS3? It was like one of the early titles. It was like Zelda with a very distinct look. That look is very like this, but it's not really the same type of game because 3D Dot Game Heroes was very Zelda inspired. This one is a little more of like a puzzler. Like I almost in some ways get throwbacks to like Solstice and Equinox, those, like, because you got that whole isometric puzzler type of thing, but not quite as actiony, at least not in the early stages I'm still in. A little more puzzly than actiony in those games. That game's really cool, and I want to play more of it. I admittedly did not get far into it, I played enough. My curiosity, I was like, what happens if I swim way far out past the island? Because the lifeguard says, don't go too far out where I can't see you. And my brain goes, that means there's treasure there. So I swam out as far as I could, and I got eaten by a shark. And that was really funny because the shark just pops out of the water, goes, bloop, and like attacks your character.
By the way, chomp.
Yeah,
you're
pretty much that's
your
it.
Boat.
It just jumps up and swallows you whole.
I looked up the pictures of it online. It looks. I like the aesthetic of that.
Yeah, it's very like Minecraft. In fact, when I was playing it, Alan came in the room and was like, oh, is this like a Minecraft license game? Is this like a new Minecraft? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not really related to Minecraft. It just has that aesthetic. And yeah, it really reminded me of 3D Dot Game Heroes. It's that whole like.
Oh, I see the arcade. So did they have like multiple arcade games in there? Because it looks like.
I haven't gotten to the arcade yet, so I can't tell you. It's not in the very first island. It's not in the second island either. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was. Neat. So I'll play more of it. So I like that. I got to play something new. I can't just rely on the old standards. But of course, I've still been playing lots of Final Fantasy 14. Like I spend easily an hour and a half every night, but that's just like Shane and other friends and I running a dungeon or something and just chatting and, you know, just leveling our characters, continuing to level my samurai. Why? Don't know. Just killing time till that next patch. Although the next big content patch for Final Fantasy 14 is next Tuesday, August 11th. So it's fine. And this is after a big delay. Final Fantasy 14 has been very good on the content patches. It's like every few months there's a patch, but we've had a really big dry spell between these last two patches. But understandably, it's the whole COVID-19 issue that's caused this to be delayed a little bit. So we got to cut them a little bit of slack. So, but I'm excited to check out that new expansion. Or, I'm sorry, new patch. There's no expansion yet. Maybe until next year, probably. Okay, let's move on and get into some gaming news. Oh, actually, one other thing I should talk about, or I'm going to get an angry phone call later in the show. One thing that was kind of my gaming week. I backed a Kickstarter this week, and it was that Aiden Chronicle 100 Heroes that I actually ended up backing. And after Shane reminded me every day, did you back it yet? Did you back it yet? Did you back it yet? I'm like, yes, God, leave me alone. So, but I won. I really do want it. So, because I enjoyed Suikoden, and the little trailer that they're showing for the new one looked really good. So, I back that, and I'll be excited to play that game in 2 years. But apparently the Kickstarter is doing very well. By the time I backed it, it was up to like somewhere around 2.4, 2.5 million. I don't know. It's probably gone up even higher. And they're starting to release a lot of the stretch rewards. Like it's going to come to consoles. They've hit that. They're starting to add new characters. They're hitting all of these. There's some additional localizations they're putting in. So the Kickstarter is doing very, very well. Some may even... I mean, it depends who you talk to. Some may say better than expected. Some may say, you know, we knew Suikoden fans wanted this for a long time. So you got to wonder if Konami's sitting there going, well, shit, maybe we should have got on this sooner. But Konami as a company has been mismanaged for how many years? So, you know, what can you do? Very happy for the developers that they get to make another spiritual successor of sorts. And excited to check it out. All right. Let's move on and talk about some of the news from the week. And Loki, let's talk about this one. This is a big one that's got everybody talking, right?
Yeah, so we kind of talked a little bit about like some of the stuff that leaked out about this huge gig leak. So basically, there was a bunch of Nintendo development stuff that got leaked out a while back. I'm not sure if this is separate from the last huge leak that we had, but this is definitely
large. Same leak trickling out the information and parsing through it. Yeah.
Yes. So a lot of development stuff, there was a lot of source code for different games and whatnot. So some of the things of note to mention out of the leak. So one of the things that was in there was the source code for Star Fox 2, which just recently got put onto, of course, the classic SNES console. And I believe now is also part of the Nintendo Online collection of games.
But character designs, though.
Yes, it was the character design. So they had a lot of different character designs, some that they didn't necessarily go with. But there was one that was a human character as well, a pilot, a black female that was in there. They also had a bunch of different animal pilots as well, that all sorts of different animals. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Zootopia a little bit. But lots of different designs that they had toyed with but didn't end up going with. Some of the other cool stuff, they had different character design for Luigi for Super Mario World. Speaking of Luigi, they had art assets for Luigi in Mario 64, but obviously unused as well.
With no L on his hat, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of other random assets. They had some early art assets from Super Mario Kart, which actually had looked like a human player in there instead of the Mario stuff. I could maybe see them doing like some sort of like, I don't know, maybe using it as a prototype to build everything else out. Also, they had the cart was, they had a version that was a hovercraft as well instead of just a regular cart.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
That would work for that aesthetic of game too. I didn't even really think of that. I didn't pick up on that one. I saw the Mario Kart with the different music. I heard that and the original music. It wasn't. It seemed a little like maybe dreamy and sad for a Mario Kart game, but I liked it. I sure did.
Yeah.
What about the Animal Crossing stuff?
Yes, the Animal Crossing stuff. So animal.
Jamie's
sorry.
Like, get to the good shit. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Get to what I want to hear.
Apparently, for Animal Forest, there was art assets for Blathers as one of the animals in the game.
And he wasn't in the game yet.
No, he was not. So that'd be cool if you could get Blathers as one of your villagers. Also, there was, I believe, art assets for...
Caddy.
For Caddy, yeah.
Caddy. She looks pretty terrible, but those brows, you know.
Yes. And then I want to say they were also talking about it possibly is going to be human characters as well in there. So that was kind
of
neat.
I think it was some of the NPCs. Like they were going to have more like NPC humans.
But there was something cool, though, about when they leaked the source code for that, it had the emulator source code in it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big, big thing.
Yeah, lots of emulator source codes. I know they also had like official emulators that were from the DS as well that were leaked with that. Lots of information. I think it's going to be a while before they finally go through all of this, but it is interesting. I understand that ethically it's not great, but I like always seeing all this development stuff and kind of what could have been and, you know, what stuff looked like at one point and just learning a bit more from that. It'd be pretty cool to see what they do with this. Plus, with the, you know, the Luigi stuff in there and the leaked version of the source code for Mario 64 that they've now gotten to run on PC, I would be curious to see that. I guess that's not necessarily the source code. That it was a rebuilding of that. I wonder if they can incorporate the Luigi stuff in there as well. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, granted, I think the Nintendo 64, or not Nintendo 64, the DS version of Mario 64 had some multiplayer in there as well, but it'd be interesting to see what they are able to do with this. And then the most random one thing I saw there was someone pointing out that there was textures for Beavis from Beavis and Butthead. And
it's kind of creepy looking.
F-Zero X. I don't know. There's a lot of like weird stuff that they used to like put placeholder in there. I know, maybe especially like on PlayStation, they used to crossover. Pad out the discs that way. So
I have to bring this point out because our chat is getting into it here. I know there's plenty more to talk about, but you know, a very real point here from Bobby in our chat room saying the thing about this whole story is that sucks is that this is corporate theft. I know it's interesting, but we're celebrating corporate theft here. I don't know if celebrate is the word I would use. Like, this is one of the things where, like, it happened. We didn't do it, but it's out there now. And it's, you know, we're all kind of, like, looking into it. It's kind of like the Sony Pictures email leaks. Like, that was a crime. That was theft. Or,
you know, it's not like we raided the Parthenon and stole, you know, Greek architecture from it. Like, hello, British Museum.
And to be fair, I don't think Bobby is like saying you guys shouldn't talk about it because everybody's talking about it. So I think when he says that, he means like we as the, you know, gaming fans are sitting here like diving into this going, ooh, isn't this fascinating? Ooh, this is cool. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's stolen shit. Like, this is not stuff that was meant for public eyes, you know, and now this has another quandary out there. Can you count this as gaming history? Or should stuff that was sent to the trash be private? I don't. It is a moral dilemma, and not one I'm sure we can easily answer here on OLR. And this is one that I think a lot of historians are struggling with right now because, yeah, like Luigi and Mario 64, that's huge, but that was put in the bin. It wasn't supposed to ever be found. These character designs for Star Fox 2, again, another great example. Yeah, the pilot designs all looked awesome, but the reality is they're not real. You know what I mean when I say that, right? They're not real because they didn't get to that finish line in the game. And you even have some designers going like, wow, I kind of like forgot about all that stuff. So, like, I don't know. Like, there's that part of me that's like, I wish Nintendo, you know, okay, make lemons out of lemonade. Like, this happened. It's unfortunate. It sucks. This happened. But maybe the silver lining here, and I'm kind of going back to an old adage that I think of, you know, I love my drag queens. And I think it was Alaska was the drag queen that said, you know, if they're going to drag you over the internet about it, put it on a t-shirt and sell it. And that's kind of the thing I'm giving. That's the advice I'm giving to Nintendo here. You know what? This sucks that this happened, but maybe it shows that there's like people are drooling and salivating for a little more of this gaming history here. So why not put out an app on the Switch, charge $1.99 for it, and start filling it slowly with videos, kind of looking back and basically selling people some of the information that's in this leak that's already out there anyway. And Nintendo can do this. They did this on the 3DS with that that video app that they slowly populated with the Dino Office every other week and all that stuff, right? So Nintendo could kind of like do that and like, oh, in this one, we're going to look back on the design of Mario Kart and how it got from here to there. And, you know, yes, I understand. Nintendo wanted to keep it secret. Nintendo didn't want this out there. So, well, it happened. So
yeah, like
make
a buck
off
GDC
it.
GDC talks or something. I love watching those GDC or the GDC talks where they do kind of like a postmortem of different games and talking about the development process and like some of the decisions that they made and stuff. I always find that stuff to be very fascinating. So I would love to hear about some of this stuff.
Well,
like the Yoshi iterations. Like first Yoshi was kind of a hideous freak. Let's.
The fun thing is that if you know some of the developmental history of some of these games, you're actually looking back at that point in history. Like the little human writers that were in Mario Kart were actually just placeholders. They for a different kart game that it was going to be. So, I mean, that's really all that those were. There was a, I think I did, you know, gaming about that. But for me, I you know, it actually, I guess, kind of semi makes up for something that I got really pissed off about. The channel that does Boundary Break had a Boundary Break for Animal Crossing and Nintendo took it down. And I have a feeling that since the guy published through, I think he published through Final Cut, if you publish directly from the app, then if the video is taken down, they can actually take your assets. So for me, this is kind of like getting a little bit back, at least on something older, to see how it's put together. I mean, Rob can vouch for this. How many times did I post like, behind the scenes stuff for World of Warcraft? You know, when I got my Demon Hunter, I was breaking that shit all the time. You know, I like to see what's behind the scenes. And this, for me, it's old. The assets are old. I don't know that, especially for the old Animal Crossings, I don't know if we're going to be getting Animal Forest E+ as a re-release anytime soon. Just saying. I don't feel that bad about it. I really don't feel that bad about it.
So it's a Pandora's box type of issue, but the reality is it's been open and it's out there now. So, you know, and I the information is out there. So, you know, I kind of land on what I hope Nintendo kind of can do is take this kind of bad situation and lean into it a little bit and sort of go, all right, well, if it's out there, then let's try to put some context to it and sell that and make money off of it, because otherwise the information is just floating around out there and they'd be naive to think they're going to shut down every YouTube and everything out there on the internet. Although y'all should be warned, they're going to try. And that's, you'll notice why I don't have any of this on display right now. We can talk about it. It's news, but I'm not putting it on screen just in case, which I seriously doubt Nintendo would come after this, but you know, why risk it? So it's out there. If you want to go look and you arrive at that moral conclusion that you can go look, then it's very easy to do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious. That being said, I'm still very curious about more stuff to come out. So let me see more things. Show me more things that you find. I just saw one. It was a test model for the Super FX chip that was Link. I mean, a very low poly version of Link that like is something you would see, well, obviously during that era, but it was still pretty cool. And they got it imported into Star Fox to be able to see it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, for me, it is fascinating, but it does feel really dirty. Like, it definitely feels like it's dirty. And I think the thing that would set me off, which thankfully I haven't seen on my Twitter feed, maybe I'm curating it very well, is I think if somebody were to say, well, that looks like garbage, I can't believe Nintendo was doing that, I would probably pop off on that, because you weren't supposed to see it, asshole. So don't go giving that negative context to it. You know, it was put in the bin for a reason or whatever. So luckily I'm not seeing that, at least on my feed, but it's the internet. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Because there's so much negativity, unfortunately, sometimes in gamer circles. I'm sure there are people that are using this information to pick on Nintendo, and that is very beyond unacceptable, in my opinion. But it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, it happened, we can't change it, we can't unput the information on the internet. I hope Nintendo will try to embrace it and make the best out of it that they can. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about some things that maybe in the future. Let's talk about less about gaming's past and look more at gaming's future for something that may be a part of the PlayStation 5. And one of those features is the potential of an activity button. And this is coming from a European outlet named Game Reactor, who did a preview of a racing game, WRC 9, which is going to be launching on the current gen, like PlayStation 4, Xbox One, as well as the next gen PlayStation 5. Now, as part of the presentation, there was an activities function that was demonstrated, described as an instant deep link to specific races directly from the PlayStation 5's menu. There was even a tweet about it that said, or features such as PS5's activities feature, in parentheses, an instant deep link to specific races directly from the console's menu. I pretty much read the same thing twice. Sorry, but that's what it said on the tweet that is now gone. So somebody probably asked for that to get pulled. So this could be a thing that's in PlayStation 5's future. Think of it as an... It is kind of one of those things where I was like, really? That's a feature? Just jump right to level 2 or something? But if you think about it, some games, they take a long time to configure. You know, it's like, okay, press the start menu to begin. Loading, 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 loading. Select which race you want to do. Two-player. Select your vehicle. Loading, 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 loading. You know, and finally, it takes a while and you get into the race. And what if there was a way you could say, you know what, I want to set this up as a shortcut so that I just go right into the action. And I do feel like the speed of playing the game, the speed of getting in there, is something that they're really pushing on PlayStation 5 with their solid state drive, as well as, you know, Xbox Series X to an extent as well. You've seen some of the things out there where they've talked about, like, you're going to be able to keep multiple game instances open in the background and kind of jump right to your position in one game or the other. So definitely that speed of jumping right in there is something we're hearing a lot about. So this makes a lot of sense from that perspective. Do you think this is a feature? Does this seem like something that you might actually use in a game, the activities feature? And I asked this of our chat as well. Assuming it happens, again, this is not confirmed, but something that may be spilled out here.
Probably not.
You don't think it's true?
No, I mean, if it's something that I would use.
Oh, sorry. No. Gotcha. SG100. No. Did you want to elaborate? I'm sorry.
No, okay. I just said no.
SG100 Matt says, I find this rather interesting, and it fits with Sony really pushing hard for non-existent load times. Yeah, it does kind of fit into that, so it makes a lot of sense. Let me ask this of chat. Is there any game that you can think of where this feature would be really useful? Like, I want to use a feature like this in this game. And it could be something that exists today. That's fine.
I can think of several ideas for this. So, like, for example, like, say you have Call of Duty and you play a lot of Call of Duty or something like that. You could have a link or whatever that says jump to, you know, quick match, you know, jump to quick match lobby or something like that, and where it'll basically just throw you into, you don't have to load the game up, load up multiplayer, load up like quick match. It'll just put you straight into that lobby to be able to play that game type. I can see that as like a thing. Not so much like, say, like, oh, I'm pulling up Gran Turismo and I want to race a specific track. I think that's more of something that could be implemented software wise. But yeah, I could see where there's be some value there. It's a
I could
nice
definitely see Sony is working a lot more with trying to kind of push their consoles the definitive place to play Fortnite. You know, you've kind of seen like with that investment epic. I can definitely see, like, it just seems obvious that you would see something in Fortnite where it's like, jump into Battle Royale default settings just right now. Let's just go get on the bus. So I could see something like, without having to go through all the other screens and configuration, I could definitely see something like that being I think something they'd show off. It would be so requested by people, I bet. I wish they'd have something like it for like Final Fantasy 14, where I could just bypass the login screen. I mean, I know I need a password to kind of keep things protected and stuff, but I don't know. I wish there was a way to make that whole process faster. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to jump in the game. Just bring me to my main character, or ask me for my two-factor auth password once and let's get in. You know what I mean? Like, instead of select your server, select your character.
Well, they sort of do, like, going back even, like, they sort of did that with, I mean, granted, not a great example because Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, but, I mean, that is one of those next-gen games now that we're touting that for PlayStation 5, even though it's been out for a couple generations already. But one of the options that they had there was to be able to load directly into Grand Theft Auto Online, which saves some time because the load times on that are incredibly long. I'm hoping that obviously with a solid state drive that they'll be much faster, but it is something that they kind of had that idea in mind where you could just bypass some of the load screens that way. But if they have this new feature where it's going to load things much faster, then I could definitely see them just having it instantly jump into something like that. It would be pretty cool.
SSG100 Matt in chat says, I envision it similar to having multiple tabs open in a browser. You could, in theory, have multiple games playing at once and just jump around from game to game, instance to instance, like switching tabs in a browser, which is that, my understanding is that is what Microsoft has already talked about for Xbox Series X, is that basically you can have multiple game sessions open.
I just think that's kind of a waste. I mean, it wouldn't be anything that I would use.
But no, okay. I have ADD. I have to play four games at once, okay? It's fine.
Well, I mean, I could kind of see it, like, for myself, because I do sometimes, like, jump to, like, oh, I just kind of want to see what's on Twitch. Is anybody streaming? Okay, no, nobody's streaming. All right, I'm going to go into this game, and I'm going to take care of these things. Okay, now I just want to get into this game. Like, if something like this was on Nintendo Switch, I could see myself, like, okay, I just want to jump into Animal Crossing, do some of the tasks on my islands. Okay, I'm done. Let's go into the next game. You know what I mean? And let me pick off where I left off on Xenoblade Chronicles. You know, I could sort of see it, especially if there are games where you have kind of like daily tasks that you go through, if that makes sense. I can also see that, yeah, I mean, there are features on every console that some people don't ever use them. there's a lot other OS on PlayStation 3. There's a lot of people that never used it. There's some people that really freaking miss it. You know, it's just one of those things where different strokes for different folks. So, all right. Yeah, SG100 Matt says, I'm bouncing between streaming apps and games all the time. You know, and I'm guilty of this too, is that I'll be playing a video game. Oh, wait, hold on, pause a minute. Check my phone, check my Twitter feed, da-da-da-da-da, what's going on? And back to it. Like, I almost think it would be almost more valuable, and who knows, maybe this is the direction they'll go, is if I could just hit a button and see the latest posts on my Twitter feed or what the latest Twitter trends are. Okay, well, now I see what's going on there. All right, let me go back. And for some people, that would be sports scores. For some people, that would be stock market. You know, whatever it is that you're into, you flip to another tab, check it. Okay, now back to my game. So, could be interesting. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about some other events. And Dark Sakura alluded to this earlier.
Yes. And I am doing it right the fuck now. I put some of it on the stream. There is a new, it's already out, the new update for Animal Crossing New Horizons. And it has brought in a few things that I was super excited about. So you get Luna's bed, which you can then dream, and Luna comes out. She was introduced in New Leaf, where you could visit the dream villages. And people had very interesting dream villages. And I will put it out there for anyone curious. Ika Village is back, and it is creepy. It looks like it's still a bit in work in progress, but fuck, it's creepy. Okay. So anyway, you also have cloud backups, and that's very important, too. It's the first thing, one of the first things I set up. So basically, the cloud backups are going to be if your system is lost or stolen and you have to replace your system, you can restore your Animal Crossing Village as of the last time that it backed up. And the game will, of course, do a backup when you aren't playing it. So really useful tool. You know, I tell everyone, back up everything. Back up your computer, back up everything. And your village, with all the time and effort we put into it, should really be no different. And then the thing I'm doing right now, fireworks, and you can do custom fireworks. Although I'm checking mine out and I just put some of my patterns up there, but I'm not seeing any ba-bombs or money bags or Trogdor or anything like that.
Huh?
So I guess maybe they're not going in now, or maybe I have to set it off myself.
You know, there are thousands of islands in the world right this moment having a dick celebration with their fireworks. Well, you know it.
And hold on. For our live listeners, uh-huh, I have it held up to the camera.
Uh-huh.
It's a little blurry, but you can see Zucker. It's a little blurry, but
I see some fireworks going off in the background there. So
let's
it's
do it that way.
Otherwise kind of looks pretty calm. Oh no, there we go. Okay, so some larger fireworks are kind of going off. They look pretty standard.
It looks
pretty. It's a different look for the game. It's something different.
Well, one thing I've really enjoyed, and Dan and I were having this talk the other day, was how well lit and how good the sound is in the game. Like, it really makes use of a pseudo surround when you're playing it handheld, or when you're playing it on your TV, it'll use your surround system. So, like, you'll hear sounds come in and out, very subtle noises as you play. But the lighting effects, the first thing that struck me for the lighting effects was during a thunderstorm. And having grown up in Thunderstorm Central, that is what the sky looks like. It's very accurate. And I was like, oh my God, it kind of hit like a little homesickness in me.
Oh, interesting.
But you know, right now you have Crazy Red's raffle. And he wants to get all the money out of you, $500 a ticket, or bells, I should say. And there are 12 items in it. You get a red sparkler, a blue sparkler, a fountain firework, a bubble blower, an Uchiwa fan, which is something like this.
which is like a Japanese. It looks like it. I can't think of a better way to describe it. I'm sorry. It kind of looks like a ping pong paddle, but it's a fan.
Yeah, but it's a fan. I think this one says Matsuri. So there you go. I was trying to think of the word. I couldn't think of ping pong paddle, but my brain was going in the same place.
That's right.
But you also get a pinwheel, a tweeter, which I guess is like a noise, maybe a noise maker thing. Blue balloons, red balloons, yellow balloons, green balloons, and pink balloons. And one of the other things, and people are ridiculously excited about this, you can trip again.
I saw this. Yeah.
So going back, though, to the data mine, a user named Ninji, who does a lot of data mining, found a few things from this update. And some of them aren't really like the biggest of surprises because these were referred to before. There is a new gyroid. It's 35_gyroid. And the one that I think it is the gyroid that appears with Luna. So I don't think that one's anything different.
But it does indicate gyroids might like kind of make a, because you don't see them a lot in the game.
You get Lloyd.
Yeah, they're when you're building a bridge or something. But I feel like it was such a huge part of the first game was collecting them. It's just interesting that's not there.
I'm kind of disappointed that they don't have them right now.
I bet they show up in a later update. I do. I just don't see that. Like,
I'm sure that they are.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, if you know actually what they're based off of, the Haniwa, they were buried with people. So you're digging up leftovers from, you know, burials. I think that's hilarious. There are new item kinds, and it all starts off with VGT, I guess, like for vegetable, and then has a name after it. So we have tomato, wheat, sugarcane, potato, carrot, squash, and then map, looks like different items on the map, and then a new bush for a plumeria. The thing that I would have loved to have seen that has been data mined before and inferred in a game would be Brewster, or Master, as he is in Japan. There was a rumor about the roost opening the museum like it used to be. Although I would love to have the full roost cafe. I think that would be lovely.
I'd love to have the cafe.
Making drinks for your villagers and whatnot. I think that would be fun. But c'est la vie. We'll find out eventually. But it just makes me happy to see so much support and seeing new stuff come out every time. I'm delighted.
Yeah, I like that they are, you know, because I've kind of complained on this show before, like, all right, things are starting to feel a little stale for me. And it's like right when I start to get in that mindset, it's like, oh, here comes an update. So, I mean, they are doing really good timing on that, I got to say. It's working.
And don't forget about your seasonal items, Rob.
Yeah.
There are two kimono, of course, based on I think based on legend stories. And then a Brazilian rodeo horse. So some pretty neat stuff. Yeah, definitely. Right. Look at your seasonal items. The Tanabata thing, of course, is over. So we have new things. You just keep checking up on them. There are some really neat stuff.
Now, if you
neat thing,
if you guys would mind, please share your dream codes with me in the VOG Network Discord. I think it'll be a great place to do that. So vognetwork.com/Discord. I don't remember if we have an Animal Crossing channel. I think we did, but something happened. But you can put them in the Orange Lounge Radio channel. That's fine. So please.
Well, I'll go ahead and pass out my dream code.
Oh, please. Yes, yes.
02378737-4816. I'll post it in our chat, but for listeners, come check out Koholint.
That's great. Thank you. I don't have one yet. I haven't put mine on the web yet. I heard there are some problems if you advertise your social media on your passport with those dream islands, which to me is ridiculous. It's overreaching by Nintendo, but whatever. I mean, I guess they're worried I might have porn on my Twitter or something. So whatever. But for that reason, I don't have mine posted on Dream yet, but I will probably edit my card. Most people that come to visit me know my freaking social media at this point, so it doesn't really do me any favors anyway.
And I do have a Facebook group. We have a thread already for Dream Codes.
Oh, nice.
Of course, the group is private, so if any listener is friends with me on Facebook or anyone who's in that group, just say that you came, leave a note that you came from listening to the podcast, and I'll be sure to add you in, but you break my fucking rules and I break your back.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I've already kicked out two people for breaking rules. The thing is that people were doing one of the rules that I have on there is that you do not, sell items for, Nook Miles. Or you don't sell Nook Miles for money.
Right.
Because that's a good way to get my channel banned. So I will ban people for selling bootleg items. It hasn't stopped me from buying, a few amiibo cards for characters I wanted. Just keep it off of the group because that will get my group
shut down. There's other places.
Yeah.
I will say, so please post some Dream Codes to the OLR channel in Discord because I want to do a stream later this week where I visit some islands, and Jamie's will be one of the first that I will go visit. The more codes we get, the more islands I will go visiting. My island is kind of hot garbage. It's really taken over by roses right now because I'm not very good at pruning them, so they have just gone.
I call those weeds.
Yeah, they're practically weeds. They're very colorful weeds. You know what, though? I'm okay with a rainbow explosion a little bit on my island.
I don't like running around and then accidentally picking up all these flowers that fill my thing and I have to go sell them.
I get it.
Just irritating.
So once I clean my island, I will post a Dream Code as well. Because I do have some cute things I've done. I have my little Zen garden. It's cute. So, all right.
Right. I've had a better view, by the way, of the fireworks. And actually, one of my custom ones did show up, so...
There you go.
So I'll just put it up there while we're moving on.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next story. So Loki, what do you have for us?
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about Minecraft again. So you can now play Doom inside of Minecraft, as well as I've seen Minecraft played inside of Minecraft as well. Some other
Is
folks.
Is it my Inception?
Sort of. So it's this mod called VM Computers Mod. Allows you to build your own computer in game and then I think run a virtual PC, so you can do all sorts of things in there. So of course people have played Minecraft in Minecraft and Windows 95 in Minecraft and stuff like that, so a pretty cool thing that I don't know, it's a little unnecessary, but whatever. The one I actually saw that was kind of funny, there was a mod that someone did that actually this is actually kind of doing an actual screen, but I saw one that actually they took a camera feed and projecting it onto actual blocks, so the blocks are changing to make the screen, so it was very low res, and someone actually played and beat Minecraft on that as well. But this is a little bit more practical, whereas you can actually see and probably be able to utilize this versus the other way. But it's a neat mod, I guess, if you have the Java version of Minecraft, go check it out. But not for me necessarily, because I've been playing mostly on Bedrock, but it's still pretty cool.
Minecraft is such a huge game, and it has a really, a younger following that, your kids are into Minecraft, right? Do you think something like this, I think a lot of us kind of roll our eyes at it. We go, what are they going to put Doom on next, a toaster? But do you think something like this actually kind of helps a younger audience discover some of these retro games through this?
I don't think so, because you would have already had to have them on your PC in the first place. It's not like it's just giving you, it's not like, finding a retro game in, say, the, early version of Animal Crossing or something like that. This is more of hey, it's a neat thing. I can play now Doom on Minecraft. I could also play Doom outside of Minecraft. It's more of kind of a neat thing. Oh, hey, look, I was able to get this to work. Is it practical? Nah, probably not. I don't know if this would maybe necessarily work in, say, a server or something where you could run this and maybe have your friends play stuff. I don't know. I think it's more of just a silly thing to do.
Now, DJ Rama S points out in chat, you can run Linux on a toaster and you can play Doom on Linux, but can you run the popular screensaver application from the 1990s After Dark on Linux? Because then you could get toasters on your toaster. Yes, you could. Yes,
for the record, you can run After Dark. I think that you can run it on any Mac up to Mojave.
Really? After Dark was the shit. Like, whatever happened to After Dark? Like, I guess,
you can still do it, but the thing is that for Catalina, it's only 32-bit applications, so.
Huh. all right. Well, let's move on. We have some more news, and I want to get to talking a little more about Halo. We talked a little earlier in the show about Halo, but and Loki had talked about the Battle Royale mode, which I am really jazzed about, and I hope that is something that happens. And I don't usually get into Battle Royale, but I'm like, Battle Royale and Halo would be really fun because it's arcade and fast-paced, which I know Fortnite is very that way as well. But look, I come from a generation that I played a lot more Halo back in the day, especially the classics 1 and 2. So like a Battle Royale in that would be awesome. You know what would be really awesome would be a Battle Royale in Quake. And I'm sure somebody's already made that mod, but are there 100 people playing it? I don't know. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about some of the graphics criticism that came up, which, again, I have to be honest, you know, and I talked about this on last week's show, and somebody even made a clip of it, which is really funny. But I didn't get the criticism to the extent that it's out there. Like, people are making it sound like it's a crime. And I'm like, it didn't look that bad, you guys. Calm down. But, you know, yeah, okay, there was some pop-in and things like that. But obviously, 343 Industries, they've heard a little bit of that feedback as well. So they made a blog post where community manager John Junyezik, I hope I said that right, sorry, said that they have, quote, heard the feedback and that the build used to run the campaign demo was work in progress from several weeks ago with a variety of graphical elements and game systems still being finished and polished. So, you know, kind of the typical, like, it's not done yet, so y'all need to hold on. And then they also kind of talked about how they're going for a classic style. They're getting away from Halo 4 and Halo 5 and Halo Wars 2, and they want to go close to the original trilogy, which I think is a good move. And to me, the demo really showed that. So there was that. And then they also talked a little bit about the pop-in, and this has to do a little bit with the dynamic lighting, they're saying, which is a little bit more technically ambitious than static lighting. And because the campaign demo took place in like a valley where the sun wasn't really reaching it, and so there isn't as much light, it looked a little drab. So that's kind of interesting. 343 actually said they watched one of the criticism videos about this and said they agree with the assessments and saying we do have work to do to address some of these areas and raise the level of fidelity and overall presentation for the final game. We don't have firm answers or outcomes to share yet, but the team is working as quickly as possible on plans to address some of the feedback around detail, clarity, and overall fidelity. Again, I'm still excited to play the game. I'm not scared off by some of the stuff they've been talking about. I'm kind of jazzed that they're going for a more classic feel. The fact that they're injecting a modern battle royale into it. I haven't been this excited for a Halo game since probably number 4. It's been a while. So I'm excited. So we'll check it out. Let me ask a quick question, though, of chat and my co-hosts. Because obviously we live in the day and age of instant feedback, thanks to Twitter. We love instant feedback, thanks to our chat room. That's been the backbone of the show for the years that we've been doing it. But, you know, an independent podcast and a large video game developer, two very, very, very different types of audiences. In this day and age of that online criticism, is this helping games development? Did this feedback help Halo Infinite? Or is this holding it back? What do you guys think?
Any feedback is good, I think, as long as it's constructive.
Right. Constructive is a very important term because certainly we've seen the bullshit like death threats, harassment, racist, sexist, you name it, type of language. And we can all agree that's all bullshit and does nothing. But constructive feedback... yeah, I think constructive feedback, you're hearing a lot of it in this, that's kind of the message they're receiving from it. What do you think, Logie?
I don't know. I mean, I think any feedback's good, so at least they know if they're on the right track or not. I'm just curious to see what they do with it. I mean, obviously, gameplay's been pretty much a focus of them, so I'm excited. Yeah. I didn't play a lot of Halo. I mean, I kind of got into it like Halo 3, but I never really played much, aside from like going to a friend's house and playing some multiplayer of one or two. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm also kind of like, oh, they don't have a lot of time to really fix things. I mean, if this game's coming off the holidays, and they probably already are on an aggressive track to try to get this game finished. So I wonder how much of this we're going to see in like day one patches. That'll be a big one. There's probably going to be a big day one patch that's going to address some of this as well. VG Realness. Oh, interesting. I love this comment. VG Realness says, I think the best example of instant feedback, despite its methods and delivery, important disclaimer there, was the Sonic movie. And SSG 100 Matt echoes that, saying, I was thinking that. Yeah, and that was very recent memory when that first Sonic trailer came out, and most of us responded to that and that original design by saying, yikes. But they heard,
it was pretty bad.
They heard that loud and clear, went back, reinvented it, and the finished product, I think at the end of the day, it seemed like a lot. I still haven't seen the movie. I really need to, especially since I sit at home all day.
Same.
I think that it came out a much better product as a result, and probably made a shit ton more money than it would have. Whether it was that whole controversy created more public awareness or whatever it was, it's kind of interesting to me. So.
Let's just say there's no such thing as bad press.
That's very true. Very true. All right. Let's move on. We got a lot more stories to get to, and we're running a little long tonight, so I might accelerate on some of these stories. But Dark Sakura.
Well, something very stupid is going to happen. And, you know, when I say something is stupid, it's going to be pretty stupid. There is going to be the League of Legends Championship, and it's happening in Shanghai. Even though we're in the middle of a global pandemic, Riot Games announced that it's going to take place on between September 25th and October 21st, with the finals at the Pudong Soccer Stadium or Football Stadium. They are promising safety measures, but no.
But
no.
Jamie, hasn't China beat COVID?
No. They had to, as far as I understand, they had a massive resurgence again. So, no. Now they said that they're going to be, you know, having, like, abilities for virtual fans. But first of all, there's the risks in travel. There's the risks in staying at hotels. There's risks in restaurants. There's the risk of being around that many people. And fuck them.
You know, and somebody posted a story in Discord that's kind of tangential to this whole thing. It was about a Call of Duty competition. And sorry, I don't have Discord up
in
front of
me. I think you read about that.
Right now, yeah. But, like, there's, like, one of them was supposed to be a virtual event, but they, like, went rogue and did it anyway in person. And, oh, my God. Like, you know, and I think everybody that was in Discord kind of had the same reaction I did, where it was like, what the fuck are they thinking? Like,
they weren't.
It blows my mind that people don't take this seriously. Like, I very much, like, when it comes to politics, when it comes to should pineapple be on pizza or not, I try very hard to put myself in somebody else's shoes and see things from their perspective. This is one of those things, I can't do it. Like, I No. don't understand why people are so insistent on this whole thing being made up or fake, especially when, like, you know, and y'all know I went off a couple weeks ago because I knew somebody that was affected by this. But now we're hearing celebrities, politicians, hello.
Well, we thought that my mom had it, you know, and you know how frightened I was.
Yeah.
You know, my little brother had it and may actually still have it. And then, of course, there's all the long-term detriments now, permanent lung damage, bringing on other symptoms, people developing fibromyalgia, for example. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's a political... No, it's not a political thing. It's a fucking human thing, okay? And I was even telling one of my friends from my synagogue, she's like, so if you go out traveling, do you do the 2 week social distancing when you get home? And I was like, well, first of all, I don't go out traveling, but if I did, you damn right I would be staying at home because I actually give a shit about other people.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think I put it that way. I think what I said is that not distancing is selfish. It means you don't care about other people.
Yeah.
It's not a political thing at all. And as I was really dismayed, I went to my sister meeting today because they were going to do like a big makeup tutorial. And I thought, oh, it's all going to be, you know, upper face and people are going to be no one was wearing a mask except me. And so I stayed as much of a 6 foot distance from other people as I could. I kept my mask on. There was no way I was going to expose myself. And, you know, I ended up just leaving. I mean, and I love my sisters, don't get me wrong, but I'm just not comfortable around it. And then, you know, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm also immunocompromised.
Yeah.
So, and especially since I had that pneumonia, my lungs are already, I'm still on asthma medication. There's a chance it could have been COVID, but I couldn't get a test. And so now for people like me who thought who might have had it and couldn't get tested, we're living in this sort of Schrodinger's virus state, you know? And then, you know, they're also now saying that even if you had it, the antibodies aren't lasting.
Every day I just hope, and I don't know if I like to say pray, but I wish very badly that there's some good news on this front with the multiple vaccines that are happening, because with every day that goes by, I keep thinking other people are going to get me killed.
You know what I hope? I hope that, I mean, you know, they're already talking, like, the pharmaceutical companies are really wanting to gouge prices for these things. And I think it's absolutely disgusting. But I am hoping that when we have the vaccines that they're going to be made available to everybody. I really do.
Same.
And I mean, and I'm going to just say one more thing about it. You know, as a student of history, all you have to do is look to the past. All you have to do is look to the past and see, you know, for example, when the Spanish flu was a thing, they had this whole drama where people didn't want to wear their masks and there were people lobbying. And just like we see today, and you saw the second surge of Spanish influenza killed bright people. One of my favorite artists, Egon Schiele, died of Spanish influenza. I don't know if they were married, but his lady was pregnant. And he did a painting called The Family that was her and him and their fetus as a child. And she died right after that painting, and he died right after her. And that's actually the thing that's been really driving this home for me, is to look at such a genius artist and think there are other genius artists now who are dying from this plague.
Yeah.
So... okay, I didn't mean to go on a tirade,
no,
but maybe
it isn't directly about video games, but it's on everybody's mind. So, you know, and this is a place for that type of stuff sometimes. So anyway, let's, you know, We'll all just keep our fingers and toes crossed that at least I know I'm taking all the proper precautions best I can, but I can't control other people.
That's all we can do.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about somewhat happier news and talk about an old game still going. A game that's been going as long as this show.
Yeah, what's my remake coming out? I mean, seriously. So yeah. Final Fantasy XI, the game that I like spent so many years playing, and they're announcing that they're getting yet another update to it. You might think, geez, you know, aren't they done with that game yet? But no, apparently not.
No.
So they're doing a brand new update that's going to add a whole new storyline to the game as well. Apparently it's going to be more end game content. So you have to play through the last update that they had. And it looks like there are some other enhancements being done to the Beastmaster class, but that's pretty exciting. They're still doing updates for that game. When's the port or remake coming out?
Yeah, that mobile port discussion really disappeared in the last, just feels like it's been like 5 years since they showed that off. It was a long time ago.
For like P's ears on my, I mean, honestly, it's not going to be siphoning that many. I don't think anyone's going to be leaving Final Fantasy XIV to play it.
Yeah,
it would be nice to have it like updated.
Or charge one subscription fee for multiple games would probably still rake in, you know, a decent amount of money. Why not? It works for Game Pass, right? So there is that. So, have you ever been tempted to go back and check it out all these years later, Loki?
I remember I played a little bit on a pirate server a while back, and that was okay, but it was really empty. It would be better if I had friends playing it, because I did like how fast they had really like boosted the percentage of XP that you would get. So the rates were really fast, so you could solo yourself pretty fast through that game. But it still was like really barren, and there was like no one there. And going back to it after so long not playing it, I didn't remember what to do through most of it. I'm like, I don't remember where I have to level up here. So it was a little difficult there, but I do like the fast progression through that, and it would be nice to be able to play some of the other expansions that way, because it was a real bear to have to, like, you know, search for parties and stuff too. And the level caps thing was also annoying.
It was terrible being a white mage.
Yeah. So like, I would like to go back and try it again, but like, I don't know. I'd have a hard time justifying paying $12 a month. I mean, never say never, but yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about something a little newer, but coming to a new console. This was pretty quick, but this week, Cuphead released on the PlayStation 4. This game, of course, was already out on Microsoft areas like Windows 10 and Xbox. And then it was out on Switch a few months ago. But now it's out on PlayStation 4. And it came out this week. There were some leaks and things leading up to it, like a store in another country had some artwork up. So people kind of knew it was coming. But it was confirmed in an official PlayStation blog post that, hello, it's here today. And obviously, if you haven't played the game yet, it's got amazing art direction in the game. It's really a stunner in that regard. But it is kind of also interesting because, you know, Studio MDHR kind of had a partnership with Microsoft going on. So is it kind of weird to see this on it? But it isn't. I don't know if the Microsoft logo shows up on the boot of the game or something like that, or if there was some type of like other agreement there. But it's interesting to me that these Microsoft things, like it made some sense on Nintendo, but it's really weird when you see it on PlayStation, like Minecraft, right? But of course, as you guys know, that predates the Microsoft acquisition there, why Minecraft is on PlayStation and Nintendo systems. It's kind of interesting. They also made a brand new animated short, which is like a stop motion, and you can check that out on the official PlayStation blog. But yeah, if you haven't played Cuphead yet, definitely take a moment to check it out. It's a great game. All right,
aren't they doing like a cartoon series as well?
I saw something like that too. Yeah, like in this huge, massive video game on streaming services barrage of stuff. Yeah, I feel like Cuphead, something we've seen, like, in that too.
Like, that sounds like something that would be a Netflix thing as well.
Yeah, S200 Matt and DJ Rama S and Chad are both saying the Cuphead show on Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Oh, is it on now or is it coming out?
In development.
I think it's coming. Yeah.
It's probably one of those things that's going to be held up a little bit by what's going on in the world. Although animation can probably done a little easier at home than the live shot stuff. But anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's take a trip down memory lane and let's go to a time when we didn't have Netflix to get series for shows. You had the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and that was it. It's the classic game of the week. And every week here on the program, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking this out. But once a month, Dark Soccer likes to mix it up. And you know what? Pinball are video games too, kind of. They're just very different. So it's time for the classic pinball of the month. Dark Soccer.
It is.
What did you pick for the classic pinball of the month?
Dun 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 dun. Is that your hint?
Yes, I think it's a good one. Let me put up some of the footage too.
It is Indiana Jones, the Pinball Adventure, not to be confused with the 2008 Indiana Jones game that Stern did. So, and just, also on top.
Sorry, I quickly want to point out, I'm using a video because this doesn't exist in the FX games and all that. So this pinball table may be a little click-clacky in the background. If the noise is too much, let me know and I'll turn it off. You guys can see the table well enough right now.
Okay. Well, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, you and Loki won't, yeah. But the listeners will.
At any rate, this one was one of it was by Midway Williams, and it was one of their Super Pin series, which is a wide body table. And it was the first pinball game to ever use the Williams DCS sound system. And it had, just some of the amazing stuff with it. A lot of effort went into this one. The game itself came out in 1993, and it was designed by Mark Ritchie, who is the younger brother of Steve Ritchie. And we all know I love Steve. Steve's a cool guy. But apparently he's still doing voices for the pinballs because I hear his voice all the time now on AC/DC. Of the other Super Pin series, for example, one was Twilight Zone, which is another one I have, and Star Trek The Next Generation, which is another one I have. We do have Indiana Jones right now. And it was also a game that included clips from the first three of the films with John Rhys-Davies reprising his role as Sala for new speech in the game. So it's got a few different features. There's actually a long shaped mini playfield for a roll down game. You have to steer the ball by tilting the mini playfield left and right. It's called Path of Adventure. Other modes in the game. Let me get those pulled up real quick. We have, I lost the mode list. Oh, well, that's fine, because, you know, you still got to play the game for yourself. Now, this particular game also has... Oh, yeah, there it is. We have Get the Idol, where you have to get the idol by shooting a lock sinkhole. You have the Raven Bar, Get the Medallion. So these are all for the Raiders of the Lost Ark ones. You have the Streets of Cairo, the Well of Souls, which is a six-ball multi-ball with a lock hole that's worth 2 million points. Multiplied by the number of balls in play. Balls. You have Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, so you get Monkey Brains. Steal the Stones, Escape in the Minecart, which is a video mode. Video modes kind of irritate me, but this one's pretty fun. You have also Survive the Rope Bridge, which it's a successive ramp shot one, and you score 10 million each. And then Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You have the Castle Grunwald, but they misspelled it as Grunwald, so yay for that. It was a drop target. You have Tank Chase, you have three challenges, and then the Choose Wisely, which is another video mode where basically you're choosing your grail. It's not a spoiler to say that you got to get the Holy Grail at the end of the damn movie. You'll get like different animations. So if you choose the right grail, you get the knight saying you have chosen wisely and get 20 million points. If you choose the wrong grail, you'll see the animation of the Nazi dying and the knight will say you have chosen poorly.
With the face melting and all that?
The face melting was in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Cool.
This is Last Crusade.
Oh.
So it's the Nazi dying.
Oh.
And you get 5 million points. For your multi-balls, of course, there's the regular multi-ball, which is for three drop targets that cover a hole, and then you shoot, lock the hole, you know, etc. You have quick multi-ball, which is a two-ball multi with different modes. You have the Fish of Tails, you have the Cross of Coronado, the Remains of Nurhaki, the Diamond of Shanghai, and the Idol of the Incas. You have the Well of Souls, which is the six-ball multi-ball, and then the Eternal Life, which is another six-ball, by completing all 12 modes that light start modes is basically your wizard mode. And on top of that, so there is another fun thing about this game. Rob, do you know what that is?
No, because I actually haven't played this table ever.
I'll give you a hint. Trader Sam's.
Alcoholic beverages.
No.
I tried.
This is a table that had the distinction of being at Disneyland.
Oh.
In a custom cabinet. And there are plenty of people who have recreated the Disneyland cabinet with its custom side art. And you remember this one, right? It was in Trader Sam's. If you went all the way over to the left side of the building, and it was tucked away and it had the custom artwork and everything. It was really cool.
I was blown away we even got into Trader Sam's that one time we went. We had to wait outside for like an hour. So I don't remember seeing the pinball machine. I was just excited to have fruity alcoholic beverages.
No. Trader Sam's across from the Indiana Jones ride. No alcoholic beverages there.
Why am I thinking of the place at the Disneyland Hotel? I don't know why that's where my brain went. My bad. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Okay. That bar?
You're forgiven. Yeah.
Too many Disney places. Sorry. Okay. I do vaguely remember that now. Okay. You're right. They did have a pinball table there.
Yeah, it's really, you know, and I thought it was great that they even went so far to have one with the custom cabinet and everything. I'm trying to see if I can find it. Jones Pinball. Because, yeah, they did some crazy stuff to it. And, yeah, there's a video of people playing it. Okay, so I've got the picture now. Sorry, people at home, you're just going to have to Google it yourself. But I'm posting something in chat. And, Rob, when you see it, it'll instantly look familiar. But, yeah, they ended up taking it out when they restructured more of Trader Sam's to expand it for other items. So, and then you can also find other people's custom
work. Oh, yeah. I remember that store. Yeah.
But it's, honestly enough, just, again, it was a super nice touch. And, of course, lots of people being fans of it have since recreated it. And so a lot of times you'll find those modifications that people have in their own homes.
By the way, Dark Sakura, I have good news. I'm not crazy. The place I was thinking of was also called Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar.
Ah, see, I'm talking. Or maybe it's just called the Trading Post.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're crazy. No, it's fine. It's fine. There's a lot of places at Disneyland.
Well, I always think of Trader Sam because they, you know, on the Jungle Cruise. And actually, yeah, it's across from the Jungle Cruise and Indiana Jones, right? It's just a little bit further past.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was even telling Dan, I wouldn't be full of hate if we did our table like that because it's really freaking cool. And on top of that, the wood thing, one of the things I liked about having that wood rim on it, I have a bad habit of getting little like lines on my wrist from hitting the metal guard on the top of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, I have like a little tilt sometimes that I'll do where I actually shake the top of the table. And so this was easier to do. Not like a tilt, but, you know, just like nudging the machine. You don't want to tilt. And Siri answered me for some reason. but yeah, so anyway, that's your game. It is Indiana Jones, the Pinball Adventure. Oh, and one other thing about it. Your trigger is actually a gun.
That's not the only pinball game to do that, though, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think Judge Dredd does it, and I think that Star Trek is a phaser. But Dan had it for the longest time, and like this is going to make sense to nobody but people who have been in my house, where, you know, because we have pinballs in the dining room, and he had it on the most outmost edge, so I would walk by it going to the kitchen, and if I was a little bit sleepy, I would hit my thigh on that damn gun, and I'm just going to tell y'all that hurts. That hurts.
It hurts.
It's not good.
Quick question from SSGO100 Matt, and as we kind of come back, I'll turn off the pinball table. Oops, I need the shot that has my co-host on it. There we go. As we come back to the show here, SSGO100 Matt asked this question. Serious question, what is an effective pro tip way to nudge a table?
So actually, there are a bunch of channels out there that teach you those secret skills, like how to nudge. There's an article about it on Pinside, which I would be more than happy to link because there's some video in there. I'll put that in chat right now. But I've seen people do it different ways. You know, some people just use their upper body strength and shake the table. Now, me, I use my knees. I also don't really get a lot of motion out of it. I'm not really someone to play for nudging. But I would always do it on a couple of tables that drifted. So it would just be to knock the ball back into play when it was about to drain or went down the wrong area. I would sometimes use it on Twilight Zone for the Black Knight for the Magna save. because you catch it in the magma save, and if you start the tilt right when, not the tilt, but the nudge right when you're releasing from the magma save, you can get it further back into play. I use my knees. I nudge the side of it with my, you know, with my Chun-Li power thighs. Yeah. Some guys will just will do a full-on shake. Dan's a shaker.
Wow.
Another one that I like to do, I was talking about, so I will, depending on what flipper side that I need, I'll use the opposite hand, put it on top of the table, and give it a shove. So, yeah, SSJ 100 Matt says there's people who quickly slap the side of tables.
I'm a slapper. But, I'm definitely a slapper.
But for me, I...
Listen
I
here, you dumb some, machine.
But, you know, I have problems with my wrist.
Ah.
So I'll hurt myself doing that. So I actually just use my inner knee. I will shake it by knocking the legs or the corner edge with my knee. So I do the Chun-Li power thighs nice. Shake.
All right. Well, there you go. Your classic pinball table of the month, Indiana Jones, as seen at Disneyland.
And a little bit how to.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get to some rapid-fire news. We're going to quickly go through some other news here. And by the way, as I don't think I mentioned it towards the top of the show, I think you did say it, Dar Sakra, but just to make sure everybody knows, Dar Sakra, thanks to some changes in her day job and schedule and stuff, will no longer be departing the show at the halfway point regularly. I mean, there's unexpected things will come up. But we're going to have her all night. Yay! All right.
For the foreseeable future, at least for the next 6 months, unless my schedule changes again. So I'm super, super happy about it.
That's always good news. All right.
Let's get to closing shift.
Let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
So there's more stuff coming to Netflix, more video game adaptations. So the first one that was announced was Beyond Good and Evil is going to be getting a movie coming to Netflix. And that's currently in development right now. By, I guess, I don't know who's necessarily working on it right now. Let's see here. Oh, I'm sorry. It's being held by the guys that did Detective Pikachu. So director Rob Letterman and produced, I guess, by Ubisoft's Jason Altman and Margaret Boykin. So pretty cool. I'm curious if that's going to come out before the sequel does or not. So we'll have to wait and see. The other thing, too, is not only is that Ubisoft property getting a Netflix adaptation, but we're also going to get an anime series for Splinter Cell that's also coming to Netflix as well. So that's going to be gained 16 episodes over 2 seasons, and it's being written by Derek Kolstad, who was the writer for John Wick. And he's also going to be the executive producer for the show as well. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm surprised. Lots of good video game adaptation stuff coming to streaming services. So looking forward to this.
All right.
And then let's talk a little bit about some free games that we're going to be getting this month. Or free with subscription service, I should say. So on the PlayStation Plus side of things, we're getting Fall Guys. Ultimate Knockout, which looks pretty cool, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the campaign remastered, is going to be coming as well. And that's going to be available on August 4th through the 31st. And I guess Call of Duty is going to be Call of Duty should be available July 28th through August 31st. So it's already available now. And then on the Xbox Live Gold side, we've got Portal Knights and Override Mech City Brawl. Those are going to be coming out for Xbox One, and then the Xbox 360 compatible games, MX Unleashed and Red Faction 2. And that's it.
All right. Let's move on and talk about... Sorry, I'm also typing in chat multitasking because the idea got brought up for a Drag Race pinball table, and I'm all about that. All right, anyway. That's what I want. All right. But I want it to be based off of Canada's Drag Race, which I am now convinced is going to be the superior version of the show. But
I haven't
anyway.
Watched any yet. Oh, isn't Brooklyn
so good.
Heights a host on it or something?
They changed it up a little bit. There's no singular host. It's a panel. So it's Brooklyn Heights, Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, and Stacey, and I can't remember her name. She's a very famous model in Canada, and she has a very distinct look. She was in The Fifth Element. And so they're all... They're all the judges, and they kind of share. They do everything. Then what they do is that the guest host every week, or the guest on the panelist, does the RuPaul part. So the guest is the one that comes out and says, "Welcome to the main stage. How's everybody doing?" You know, so it's kind of neat. They kind of put a twist on it. So
yeah, I like that better. Yeah, anyway. I'll check it out.
All right, anyway. We do have emails tonight, so we do have the obligation to spare Drag Race talk. Sorry. All right, let's get into some other rapid fire news, and that is an unfortunate follow-up to something we talked about a few weeks ago, and it is the dangers of talking about rumors and weird things here. As it turns out, so we had talked about that there was a F-Zero Twitter account that showed up, and I think some of us were kind of taking the fact that it was F-Zero with a grain of salt anyway, but it was that Super Mario 35th anniversary one that was like, well, maybe there's something a little more here. It turns out they were both fake, and the F-Zero JP account basically started shit posting. And as much as we wanted to believe, it just wasn't true. So, you know, sometimes the rumors are right, sometimes the rumors are wrong, and that one was wrong. Although it doesn't mean that an F-Zero will never happen again. Just saying. All right, moving on. something we do know will happen, this is not a rumor, this is actual official news, is that a new DLC character for Soul Calibur 6, Setsuka, will be coming out on August 4th. That will be coming alongside 2.20 update for the game, which will have a new stage as well, and some costume parts that you can use on your own character in the character creator section. Soul Calibur 6, of course, is on all the different consoles, as well as, I don't know if it's on Switch, but it's also on PC as well, and Xbox Game Pass, most notably. So I know that's where I have it right now, but if I wanted to get this, I'll have to pay a little extra money for it because DLC, but it is still supporting Soul Calibur series, which is a great fighting game series all these days later. Dark Sakura, how about you?
We've got some stuff. Another game that's a staple in my house is Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, and there is update 1.3.0 that's available as a legend style, where your enemies respawn from off-screen, and one character dying counts as all the characters dying. It's really difficult. They've done some bug fixes and some other things, but yeah, so basically you're getting like hardcore mode. Yay. And then also, they finally have a release date trailer out for Battletoads. Like, didn't they bring that up like in 2018? But it was E3 2018. That Microsoft announced it, and it was supposed to be released last year, but it wasn't. So now we're going to be getting it soon.
It's weird that it's just suddenly like, September. Oh, by the way, it's finally coming out. It's just like, yeah. Oh, okay.
This is next month, and okay, so yeah, this was posted in August, so it's going to be September. So, and via Steam and Xbox One. So, hey.
And as SSG100 Matt points out, you can call the Evil G and ask when Battletoads is coming out, and now they'll give you a real answer.
It actually is still August. I don't know why they said next month. It's August 20th.
All right, cool. So, yeah, there you go.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, starting in the U.S. Loki.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, during the games are remaining free on PlayStation 4, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 as well as PC as well. Then, of course, we're also going to be getting Fast and the Furious Crossroads on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, and Horizon Zero Dawn on PC. That's it.
That's a big one for PC. I know Death Stranding came out not that long ago, and I do have some Twitter friends that are playing it for the first time thanks to that. So it's kind of interesting seeing the reactions to that, like the game is new in a way. Let's talk about some Japanese release dates. Coming to the Nintendo Switch in Japan, The Coma Double Cut. That's the name of the game. It's coming out on the Switch. Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom makes its Japanese debut on August 6th, and a La Mulana collection, that's right, a physical edition of 1 and 2 in a limited edition, is also out this week in Japan. Somewhere I hear Dark Tetsuya going, yay, because I know he's a big La Mulana fan. Looking at the PlayStation 4 and the releases over there, this is awkward. My computer froze up, so I can't look at them right now until it recovers here. live technical difficulties. Okay, it's freed up again, but now I'm on the wrong part of the page. But I like to do Switch and PlayStation 4. Do I like
the Indiana Jones theme again?
No, I got it. It just fixed itself just in time. We have a Watch Dogs 1 and 2 double pack in Japan. We have a Far Cry 3 and 4 double pack. We also have the Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom edition coming out in Japan on the PS4 as well. And then a game called VVV Tunia. I don't know if that's like a stylized W or something. I do not believe this is at all related to the game VVVVV, although you might think that at first glance. No, this is more of a anime-based game there where you play melee and shooter characters and hack and slash battle, and yet there is a rhythm thing that you actually team up with virtual YouTubers and play like a rhythm game in it. So I bet there's some of our longtime listeners that are into this because it sounds like it's got some music-infused stuff in it there. So, all right. Oh, yeah, and Dark Tessia says, I've heard of this, Bob Coffey. It's a Neptunia game. Yep, okay, so some of you know this. All right. All right, how about Europe, Dark Sagra?
Scully on the 4th for everything.
The end. All right. Let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us your emails, and we will read a few of our favorites on the show. Although, if my records are correct, we have one favorite email to read tonight.
Yes, just one. Hiya, OLR. This is your friendly neighborhood Mexican act deft. Last week, Rob gave his impressions of GoFest 2020, and while I agree with some of the things he mentioned, I do want to give some of my own. GoFest for me wasn't bad at all. In fact, I quite enjoyed both days of it. I will start with the things Niantic needs to improve on, the first being server issues. They really need to upgrade the servers, be better prepared for events like this one. Because it's not the first time this has happened that the APAC region gets screwed one way or another for this. When the event started in the Americas, it was all right after the first hour or so. They had to handle more than half a day with those server issues. And that's only my main gripe about GoFest, really. The event was pretty good. I will address the biggest complaint that everyone had, though, lack of shinies. It does suck that there were people who didn't get even one, at least during the first day. But the thing is that shinies shouldn't be given out like they were free candy. Yeah, they should have boosted odds, and they did despite popular belief. But what happens with Community Day shinies, you end up getting 10, 15, 20, and then you don't know what to do with them. I paid for shinies, I read in here in some places. I say, no, you paid for the event. And yeah, you paid $15 or 280 Mexican pesos, or around that $12 US. But you paid for both special researches, 2 days of special spawns, and the Team Rocket event on Sunday. Not to mention access to the special legendary Pokemon like Shadow Mewtwo and Victini before everyone else that didn't pay. So for me, in the end, it was really worth it. Something that a lot of people don't mention is that a regular GoFest ticket is only one day. Therefore, that's why many people do get a lot of Pokemon and shinies, because you are capturing or checking more Pokemon in a single session rather than a spread out event like this year's. Also, that a lot of people didn't go out and probably just relied on incense like me to enjoy it. I got 20 shinies in both days, and I'm happy with that. But I'm also happy to have experienced more than just getting shinies and did more to enjoy the GoFest itself even under quarantine. So yeah, if you still think that it wasn't worth it or that expectations were way high, you're definitely entitled to that opinion. But my opinion is that I hope that they do this next year, and hopefully even way better than what they did now. Thanks for reading this, and have a good week, everyone. Thank you, Act Deft.
Great email. And you know, not everybody has to agree with me 100% of the time, and that's fine. And honestly, I think everything that Act Deft said in the email, like, I get it. Like, yeah, you know, the comment about the shinies shouldn't be like candy, and how irritated do we get when, you know, you get like 11 of them, and what the hell are you supposed to do with all that, those shinies? Like, I kind of get that. And I think all that feedback is fair. For me, I still think the price was a little bit high. But especially when you compare like what the people who paid got and what the people who didn't pay got, which was a lot of the similar stuff when it came to the biomes and things like that. But like, you know what, if it made the game fun and it was something to do for a weekend, it was the cost of a movie or whatever, you know, cool. And If I hated the game, I wouldn't play it. You know, it's all about feedback and helping Niantic make the game better and all of that. And I think they will be a lot that they're going to have to put into next year's event. My assumption is, assuming COVID is under control enough in a year's time, let's hope, for goodness sakes. But assuming we're at the point where we can start talking about larger events like that, at least outdoors, in a year's time, I would see that there's probably going to be a live and virtual event. Why wouldn't there be? Make money twice. It would be a great way to do it. So I could see that the virtual events will probably still be around in some fashion or another. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. I will say this. For as much as I really dug my heels in and didn't care for the Team Rocket battling stuff, the day two of the event made it so easy that I did kind of start checking more balloons after the event. And I've kind of been playing it a little more. I mean, anything greater than zero is still greater than zero. And I got really frustrated trying to take out a leader today because they're way harder during the week, you know, during normal playtime than it was during the GoFest. They were rollover easy during GoFest. But I mean, of course, you don't want the game to be 100% a gimme either. I should be challenged a little bit. So I will say I'm warming up a little bit, just a little bit, to that mode. It's still not the bread and butter of the game for me, but I can get into it a little bit. So, and as is being pointed out in chat a couple places, SG100 Matt is saying they did screw up a portion of the game that they plan to redo that portion as a separate event. That is true. And I'm sure you probably had already heard that. It's in the in-game news. But they are going to be doing a three-hour makeup event of sorts in mid-August. I forget. Was it the 16th? I don't remember. I could be mixing it up with Community Day. But they are going to be doing a makeup event. So that'll be cool. So, all right. Well, thank you for the email. Appreciate that. Send us more. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, let's get to some more stories here tonight. Loki.
All right. So this is something I actually have personally experienced myself. So there's been a lot of talk on Twitter recently about the PSP's batteries swelling. And I've actually had this problem myself. So, yes, if you own a PSP. I'm sorry?
It's the same.
Yes, I was going to say, if you own a PSP, double check your batteries because they may have swelled and that's you want to dispose of them. I've had several batteries in my PSPs. Actually, I think all of them have had to be basically thrown away because they have swollen. I first noticed it actually with my – I had a Pandora's battery. So there was a battery that you could use to actually hack the PSP, and that one was just ridiculously swollen. So that's unfortunate. If you do play the PSP, though, you can get replacement batteries relatively cheap. But it's just it's unfortunate that that's even a thing. And apparently it is a widespread issue, but not something that Sony's going to do about it because, you know, the PSP is really old and I don't know what you're going to do. But
it's also not an unheard of thing for anything that uses a lithium ion battery for the swelling to be it helps contain the content within. It happens to phones. I mean, when you have a battery that's consumed or depleted and you're charging it again, I mean, it's not an uncommon thing across multiple technological disciplines, devices. Yeah.
Well, yeah. All those of you that found our show through olrpsp.com, look out.
Well, I mean, yeah, just make sure that, you know, if you have yours stored in, like, you know, somewhere to check on them, make sure they're not leaking or exploding or close to, you know, breaking. You might want to dispose of them properly. Because I know I had to get rid of mine through the hazardous waste stuff.
I don't even know if I could find my PSP at this point. Good Lord, I wonder where the hell it is.
I think places like Best Buy will do battery disposal.
Yeah, a lot of those places will. I know them that you can just drop it off. But, yeah, just keep it in mind, especially if you have some of these older electronics that have these types of batteries, you may want to check up on them just to make sure that they aren't leaking or, you know, expanding like this. Sucks for anybody that had the PSP Go, because I think that thing was, like, built in.
I just have the PSTV.
Oh, yeah. So that's safe.
That's no worry.
I don't know where mine is. I have it somewhere. I just can't find it.
I had it solely to play Danganronpa Ultra Despair Girls, and then we played like that Tempest 2000 clone. So,
well,
like
I know
T2K or something.
I have mine specifically right now to play Pixel Shits. So you know, there's that. Or I'm sorry, Pixel Poops. I think it was on the Vita. So it is unfortunate that I had to get rid of those, but what
Pixel
are you gonna
shit.
Do? Yeah.
So breaking news here on OLR. It's not video game related, but it's related to something I always talk about every year. So you know how they do the crazy flavors of Lay's potato chips every year? I had no idea they were doing it again this year, but apparently they
yes.
are. Because I just got a message from Alan that he has placed in the shopping cart Nashville hot chicken flavored Lay's and
Ooh.
Carnitas street taco flavored Lay's.
Tell him to get me some and I will come pick them up.
Those are on their way home right now, and I will be after the show tonight testing. Assuming he gets home in time by the time we finish, I will test them live on air.
No, seriously. Rob, if he's not on his way home back, tell him to get me two and I will pick them up off your porch.
Hold on.
Okay.
Fill time for me while I text, please.
All right, because I'd have to go get them on Wednesday. I'm on my day off or after work. But, I mean, I'm also getting, thanks to one of our wonderful listeners, I'm getting Baconator Pringles. And I'm really looking forward to trying them. I haven't been able to find them anywhere. Now, I know Dan wants the hot chicken ones. I won't touch those. But the carnitas sounds delightful. There was a couple of other flavors, too, that looked just amazing. But it's funny. Like, I eat more chips now than I used to ever eat. I have Calbee pizza chips. I have honey butter chips. I have a bunch of chocolate because I went to the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Company today. And that has nothing to do with video games. So,
wow.
No,
they do have to do with video games because you know what I do when I play video games? I eat chips. That's why I'm trying to play more GPS games to walk this off.
I was about to bring up something else about the Giga Leak too. Is that there was a hockey RPG, and it's been talked about before. But yeah, there was a prototype version of this hockey RPG that never came out.
Did come out eventually on the Super Nintendo, but it never came out on the Nintendo or the NES. I was gonna say, so one of the things I normally like to have is popcorn, and because we rented a bounce house for my son for his birthday because we can't go anywhere because of COVID, but we also rented a popcorn machine and so the popcorn machine, you know, we try to pop. They gave you a ton of popcorn to pop, and I couldn't eat it all, so I popped the rest of it and put it in this giant container that I'm going to be eating all week.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, and Jamie, good news. I think Alan did get my message. I think he's taking care of it. I'm waiting on confirmation. So.
Bless him. I can pick it up after work on Tuesday.
Yeah, no worries. Just let us know when to put it out. All right. Meanwhile,
bring you Dina.
We could do a trade. That'd be fun. Because
yeah.
When you do it off a card, you can actually pick what villager leaves, huh?
I have a few extra spares, so I'll just give you my spares.
Okay, cool.
And I have all the Sanrio cards now, so I think I've already sent you some posters.
You have, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on, though. Just got to make sure we get all the stories done. Let's talk about a game that I don't know if this game is saveable, and I'm kind of curious of your guys' thoughts, but it's the game Anthem from BioWare. And I got confirmation from Alan. You're good, Jamie. All right.
Thank you, Alan.
So BioWare is going to be making some more changes for Anthem, and they did a big blog post and talking a bit about loot. And I think it's worth mentioning because, you know, if you look at some of the games that have been salvaged, and they've been salvaged in a big way, you know, No Man's Sky, Final Fantasy XIV, one of them that comes to mind is Diablo III. Diablo III had the problem with loot in the early versions of the game, and it was one of the biggest changes they made to the game was to... he just sent me a picture with like a shopping cart full of chips.
Hell yeah.
Looks like we're smoking weed tonight. All right. Anyway, sorry. So loot was a big thing in Diablo, and changing that and getting that right was a huge step in making that game better. So some of the things that they're talking about doing in Anthem, number one is respecting your time, increasing the frequency of loot drops, making loot viable more often. I know I'm excited about the loot too, Mr. Smush, aren't you? that loot will be viable more often, and loot rarities will have value throughout progression. Okay. You can also look for specific loot without having to rely on randomness. So that would be nice. You can also modify your loot, kind of like reforging it. Make sure that you can reveal and equip your loot right away. And so on and so on. So they're doing some big changes to loot. But I can't help but shake the feeling that this game is already gone. Like this game, just they've got to move on. It's not savable at this point, in my opinion. They might try to do like a sequel or an expansion, because that's kind of how Diablo did it. And I could see them maybe trying to do it that way, but I just don't see how Anthem is, like, people are going to care.
I haven't thought about Anthem in an age.
I know. I don't think about it until we have these type of stories. And then I feel like I'm only here to kick it while it's down because of what my feeling is, whether it's true or not, about what it did for Mass Effect. You know, so if they would announce
I'm still bitter.
That Mass Effect remaster already, I might be more excited about Anthem. I don't know. Probably not. But all right. I was seeing if anybody in chat was talking about it. But they're talking about Mr. Smush screaming in the background, which I don't blame him. All right. So let's
Midna
move.
Midna is in here somewhere. She left.
Oh, we had a really cute.
This is not very loud.
You missed it, Dark Sakura, after you left. But Stella, Loki's cat, jumped up on him and oh, did you see it?
I did see it, yeah.
Oh, so cute. Oh, yeah, that's right, because the clip. I put the clip
She's
on Twitter.
She's here now. That's why I've had it muted. She's sitting right here, meowing at me. Aww. Like, she wants me to pick her up or feed her or something. I don't know.
I'm already switching. I'm switching Midna's food, so she's been kind of weird all day. I'm about to put her on raw food. So
I will say it's cropped out of my shot. I'll just quickly peek and show here. I do have the Smush basket ready and waiting to see if Mr. Smush will come back and sit in it as he did that one night. So if he does, my co-host will have to understand that I'm going to cut him out for a minute for Mr. Smush to put that on. Or I'll just move my I'll pan my camera over. I'll be off cam. That's fine.
I personally have to pause the feed. Because a bandwidth, and I'll get distracted.
All right.
Although, where I have it paused, I've got this incredible side eye that might be worth a screenshot.
All right, let's move on. Dark Soccer, you have a news story for us. What's old is new again, right?
Yeah, and it's not really super new. The announcement's been out for a little bit, but the Analog Pocket Retro, which is basically a Game Boy. It's going to be portable. It also will play. Hold on, I'm getting the information about it. So yeah, so it's got a 3.5-inch 1600 by 1440 pixel display, the NanoLoop music creation software. It can play Game Boy, Game Boy Colors, Game Boy Advance games natively, and it's available to pre-order starting on August 3rd. At noon Eastern. The Analog Pocket is $200, and there's also a dock which has HDMI out and up to four external controllers for another $100. It looks really sleek. It keeps that Game Boy styling, like the Game Boy Color, but it's got that clear screen. And on top of that, They did do a little bit of tweaking since their first release of the images. And they have, to protect it, there's also a transparent hard case that you can use with it. And then cartridge adapters. So the adapters are really cool because they'll adapt for Neo Geo Pocket Color, Game Gear, and Atari Lynx, which I think one of our Atari Lynxes just died. Kind of sad. But at any rate, I mean, I think it's going to be absolutely worthy. I don't know if we're going to get one. We talked about it, You know, I would be happy if it also like had an adapter for TurboGrafx games, because the screen would definitely be better than that of the Turbo Express or WonderSwan. I mean, that would be great too, but I'm not really complaining. It looks beautiful, and the button shape looks actually pretty comfortable, and Analog has just made amazing equipment. So I'm down.
It looks really good to me too. Like, it's almost one of those things where it almost looks preferable to the original hardware, which I don't say often, but those Game Boys were kind of bricks. They weren't very well lit. What?
They were definite bricks.
Yeah. You know, they ate through batteries and stuff. You know, they were great at the time, but I kind of love the idea of taking these cartridges and playing them on a device that, you know, and it's not really meant to, like, modernize the games or anything, but just, like, make them look nice and crystal clear on a screen. Probably eats a little less power. It looks really good. Like, I kind of want to get one. I kind of have too much shit in this house already, and I bought an arcade machine this year, but I'm still tempted.
See my house, Rob.
I know, but you know, this, there's a lot here, and we want to move.
At any rate, though, you know, with some of my older systems, like, well, even the Neo Geo Pocket Color, we had to have, you know, the lighting on it. We found my Game Boy Advance with its afterburner in it. My pink one, like, I actually have a pink thing. We found Dan's; his afterburner died. Mine still works, so. You know, it's nice to have something that's backlit that will play everything in great clarity. The only reason I would really, like, want to have the WonderSwan Color edition on it would be to play the Final Fantasy games in higher resolution. So,
all right. Well, we just have a few more stories before we get to wrapping things up tonight with your questions in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. But first, Loki.
Yes, so there's a pretty cool achievement that's happened with Metal Gear Solid 5. So they have the whole Cold War multiplayer thing that they could do, where I guess you could also disarm nukes in the game as well. And apparently there was an achievement, I think, once that they had, like, either hacked to get in the game or hacked to achieve it originally. But then actually now they've finally done it officially without hacks to basically trigger this nuclear disarmament achievement, which is pretty cool. So it happened on the 27th of July, and apparently there was 2,500 nukes total, I guess, on... I guess on the PlayStation 4, there's still 2,500 nukes, and then 19,000 on PC. But PS3 one was low enough to where they were able to actually make that achievement happen, but apparently it hasn't happened on the other systems yet. But still pretty neat that people are trying to get that achievement, you know, this, what, 5 years after the game's come out. I don't know. Like, I think the only other achievement I can think that's kind of like that, where there's a lot of collaboration, was probably like Nobi Nobi Boy, where, you know, we have to reach the different planets and stuff for Girl.
Or that old walking game on the Game Boy Advance, was it? Everybody Walks or something? It was some game where it was just like a walking device that you kept with you, and then it was like, we have all walked to the moon with how much we've walked. I don't remember the name of the game, but it was something like that.
That wasn't like on the DS or anything, like how they had like the stuff where, or was it 3DS or DS that had, no, it was 3DS.
I think it was on the Advance, because of that game is where they kind of got the idea to build it into the DS and 3DS.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's a neat achievement. I guess we'll have to wait and see when that happens on PlayStation 4 and on the PC.
It's kind of interesting to me that there's a very loyal community that has kind of worked on getting this achievement and bringing this achievement and making it happen. I'm trying to think if I've ever worked on something like this for an old game, trying to work on some achievement together. I can't think of anything. Can you guys? I don't think I stick with a game long enough to do it. I don't know. Well, then again, I don't know. Like, some of the stuff I talked about a couple weeks ago on the show with Ingress and portal scanning, I've done a lot. I broke 300 unique portal scans this week. So I've been doing that a lot still. So I guess everybody has their thing in one way or another. But yeah. So, all right. Moving on. We've got one more story for you guys. And this has to do with a video game that I don't know. It was one of those games where it was like, I don't know if it was really that good, but it was kind of one of those. It was so bad, it was good. And that was Def Jam Fight for New York. And there were some, you know, different fighters in the game that were based off of real people. One of them being Ice-T. And Ice-T wrote a tweet this week saying, "Gamer stuff. I think they really need to reboot this game for the new consoles," and actually put a picture on his feed of himself basically in Def Jam Fight for New York. And, you know, I think it's so obviously he owns the game and he plays it sometime or whatever. Maybe, I don't know, maybe was it a friend's or something and saw it. But he is all about the idea for a reboot. This dates all the way back to 2004. It was on PlayStation 2, Xbox, and GameCube. You could play as like Snoop Dogg and, you know, other folks as well.
We absolutely need that game back.
Yeah.
What? They did reboot it. Def Jam Icon. It was a rhythm. It was a fighting game that had a rhythm element to it as well.
You could play
your own MP3s.
Yes.
It was not good.
Okay, but take that element out of it.
Even why he mentioned that particular one then.
Right. Yeah, this would be a little bit different. But, I mean, yeah, sure. Why not? Just because you reboot it once and it doesn't work out doesn't mean you can't try again.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not like Ice-T doesn't have the type of pull to be able to make something like that happen. I mean, isn't something similar to this how we got a new Shaq Fu game at the end of the day? Didn't Shaquille O'Neal say something about it? I mean, Ice-T could, like, have the investment to, I mean, not that I think, you know, he's a normal person who just is very high profile. I don't think he has oodles and oodles of cash, but he might have enough to make a small investment in something like this and make it happen, especially if he got some of the other big names that were in the old game kind of together, get the old band back together, so to speak, and fund a game like this. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, sure. Why not?
DJ Rama S also points out the Japanese version has different characters. It has Def Jam Japanese artists in it. SSG100 Matt simply says, "I'd take an HD remaster. Def Jam Fight for New York was great. I think it was still played at Evo for amateur tournaments." So, yeah. I think there are a lot of people that remember that game very fondly, even though I swore it had really bad reviews. Like, it was not, like, well-received critically, but it doesn't matter what critics think at the end of the day. It's what the players want, so...
matters if it's fun or not.
That's right. All right. Yeah, it's true. SJ100 Matt says, if they put it on Kickstarter, it would fund so fast. Yeah, why not? I mean, a lot of video games have been doing very well through Kickstarter, so maybe this is one of those games that should take that route as well. All right. If you guys have other questions for us, we'd like to open up the listener roundtable via chat. So if you have other questions, you can go ahead and put that into chat. For example, in chat, we have She-Hulk, because we brought up potato chips earlier on the show, which I hear Alan getting home, which means there's chips coming. But She-Hulk says, "Have you guys ever tried Utz?" Am I saying that right? U-T-Z, Utz, fried dill pickle ripples potato chips.
Ew.
I have not, but that sounds good. I like fried pickles. Yeah,
I hate pickles.
I did have pickled chips, though.
I like Japanese pickles, like Fukujinzuke or like other delicious pickles.
Oh, yeah. Alan wanted to make clear this is not a promotional spot. They're not paying us. I may eat these and they may be garbage. We'll find out later in the show or after the show tonight, live on Twitch, I should say. All right. Anyhow, Utzi. Okay, sorry. I am not familiar with Utzi. I don't think it must be a brand that they don't carry on this coast. It's one of those things where it's like Hellman's and Best Foods. They don't carry it across the nation.
Rob,
huh?
I did find dill pickle Pringles, and if you want them, I'll get them for you.
I've had pickle chip. Fried pickles was one of the crazy Lay's flavors like 2 years ago.
This is a Pringles.
No, I'm sorry. It was fried tomatoes, not fried pickles. Sorry.
I'll get you the Pringles. I'll actually buy a pickle product for you.
That sounds good. I like pickles.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show. But first, I want to check in and see if we have any last minute stories from Loki.
Sure. So there was some pretty cool stuff that I saw regarding, apparently there's a spiritual successor for Space Quest that is now playable. So it was Kickstarter back in 2012, And it's a game called Space Venture. And so now apparently you can play an early beta version of it. Yeah, let's that's a long time.
That is a lot. But Bobby's in chat saying, I'm a backer of this damn project. I got my demo key. Yay. Congrats.
You can check it out now. It looks neat. I mean, it looks sort of like Space Quest, but I don't know. It not exactly, but neat if it's the same type of gameplay. So I'm down. And then apparently the PlayStation emulator RPC3 is now getting network play as well. So they're developing a private PlayStation Network server replacement for our RPCN, and apparently it's going to be free and open source. And yeah, right now they can play Demon's Souls and Bomberman Ultra over it. So neat. Definitely be cool in the preservation space.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's it. All right. That's it. All right. So that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight and staying up with us. We appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great week with playing video games. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but the voices have to be here for us to put out on air. So tell a friend or two about the show. Share on social media. That goes a long way as well. Auto-hosting VOG Network on Twitch goes a real, real long way. Super appreciate that. We'll be back to do it all again in another week with episode 831 of our show. Before we do that, though, we have to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So, Dar Sakra, why don't you start us off? You haven't been here to wrap up the show for a while, so what's your final thought?
My hip hurts. I'm ready to get it like an epidural. I'm tired of feeling like I'm 97. Now I know why old people move to Arizona.
All right, and my final thought, because Bobby's hooting and hollering in chat, is that the beta is not available to the public. Loki, you have to have backed it in 2012. It's a personalized beta key.
You can watch YouTube videos. There you go. That's how you can check it out.
There you go.
Have to play it.
Who needs an NDA, right?
Checked it out, and
I guess it would be hard to put something like that under NDA, because, as I say, it might actually be. You laugh that off, but it might be. But I think if it's anything like Bloodstained or several of the other gaming Kickstarters, I think that's kind of too hard to keep contained. Something like that. So.
Yeah, and something else you need to check out, though, if you get a chance to, there's a lot of preview videos out there now for the new Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Holy cow, does that look fantastic! Just the amount of detail is just. It's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. And it'll be on Games Pass.
I absolutely misheard you mentioning that. I thought you said stimulator.
No.
I have seen one
of those strange addiction things where someone was in love with a aircraft or certain planes. So
yeah,
I guess,
the Pan Am planes. I watched that one.
Yeah.
And he had bought like the catering console.
All right.
Yeah, that's weird.
That was pretty cool, though.
Loki, your final thought?
My final thought is I'm going to try to be productive over the next 3 days, at least with something. I don't know what I'm going to be working on, but something.
All right, make it happen. Make it work. Like Tim Gunn says, make it work. I believe Jamie still has a contest open for you. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's
By the way, Rob, I was going to let you know, since I'm not doing DragCon anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like if everything is open next year, Dragon Con will be it for me.
Wait, you're going to do Dragon Con next year?
I'm thinking so. And I already know what my first cosplay is going to be.
Oh, this is this is big news. Bobby, you hearing this?
I am going to do Ewok Village Leia from Return of the Jedi.
Huh. Wow. I wonder if this is going to be motivation for more VOG people to make their way to Dragon Con next year. So that is a very exciting. All right. Assuming, of course, everything is safe. Yeah. But that's
assuming it's safe.
an entire year plus out, so we'll have a host of other problems if we haven't gotten that under control by then. So,
you know, funny, asking is it safe reminds me of the Clerks animated series. Remember that reference?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Roll credits. We're out of here. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to our show tonight and participating, whether it was live or on the podcast feed. We will see you on our Discord, on our Twitter, at OLR, and all that good stuff throughout the week. And then we'll see you back here in 7 days for another show. Until then, good night.
Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.